Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody. We're here a lot tonight. It is Wednesday night. Good to be with you. It's our night when we prophesy over, pray for every person and calls in. So it's our true everybody ministry night. If you can stay in there long enough, we'll make sure and pray for you. If you don't answer the line, we'll just pray for you anyway. And then you can just do it later. That way it makes it easy for you. So but try to answer it if you can. If you can't, that's no big deal. All right? We'll work with you on that. We understand what it's like to hang on for 2 or 3 hours. So thank you for doing that. Wow, just learning so much right now about all kinds of things. And I'm not sure why I want to share, because I want to share something with you that can really benefit you, you know, and change your life and help you. Like, I usually tell you what's happening with me most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. And not everything fits exactly, but, you know, a lot of times it does. So I love to share it with you and let you know what's helping me change. I love changing. There's nothing like changing in the image of Jesus, that is. And, you know, we all go through hard times, and sometimes we go through good times. And the good times are better when you're, you know, being corrected and helped, you know, by the Holy Spirit. And he does it in such a wonderful way. Like, you can't get away from it. You're like, where can I go from this? There's nowhere. Right, you are definitely, because he's inside you, he's definitely there to help you in spite of yourself. If you find, see, the Holy Spirit knows that we're so human and so ignorant of all of his ways. Of course, I don't know anybody familiar with all of God's ways. But we're so ignorant of them that he knows that. And so he, when we give our will to him, then he just comes in and even though we say, no, don't do that. He says, I'm sorry, he gave me your permission, so I'm going to do it. And that's really what happens. I mean, you know, because he knows we're not going to like it sometimes. Sometimes we're going to think it's the devil messing with us. Sometimes we're going to think it's something else, whatever. People messing with us. And sometimes God's just, you know, he's trying to do everything he can to help you. Some of the ways he helps us. It's difficult. It's difficult to see things about yourself. That's one of the worst. It's one of the worst problems. It's probably the worst problem that I have. Is seeing things about myself, you know, because it's so easy to see, you know, something wrong with somebody else, right? And so it's so easy to do that. So because of that, you know, and I know that's true. I know it's true for me. I know it's true for most people. It's really difficult for the Holy Spirit to be able to correct you. Not on everything. Some things are easy. But some things are very difficult, especially if it's something you really believe and you know you got it, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and we all have those things. I've had lots of those things. And they really mess with you. They can really mess with you. So if they're really messing with you bad, then the Holy Spirit wants to, you know, help you to, you know, overcome it. And the thing that's really messing with you that you don't know it's messing with you, that you think you're fine on it, that he's really going to, you know, he's going to take over. You know, you're giving him your will. You're giving him your life, right? Have you done that? Of course you have. And sometimes we do it over and over again. So because we've done that, he has the power over our will. If we had to give any permission, then he wouldn't have permission, and he wouldn't take permission. He would not. Don't think he won't work in other ways, as he will, because he's out to help you, man. He is out to help you figure out what you're doing right, to do it better, to do it more right, if you will. To do it, you know, 3,600 to do it to the highest level. If you're doing something wrong, he wants to help you get it right, because the things that we do wrong cause us to be messed up, right? Cause us trouble, cause us pain, cause us delays in our blessings, cause us all kinds of things. So he's just, like, we're so, like, we're almost like blind when it comes to ourselves in some way. Like I say, you know, God corrects me in some ways, it's easy. The things, there are some easy things that he corrects me in, that I go, yeah, man, you know, I know that's right, you know, like, no problem. Like, but other things, I'm like, I don't, and because I don't think I had that problem, I argue with him. I don't know I'm arguing with him, but I'm arguing with him. No, no, that ain't me. That's not me. I know some people like that. Yeah, I sure do. But, yeah, that ain't me. So, that's happened to me. I've told you guys about the time way back in the 80s, 1981, something like that. Gosh, it seemed like a long time ago. I was in my 20s, and late 20s, maybe, I don't remember exactly, middle, late 20s. And, you know, I just moved to Lubbock, Texas. I'm working for a security place that I, you know, got to get a job somewhere. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, wait till the best job goes up. I just took something, you know, went to work. So I'm walking, you know, at night in security and making my rounds. And the Spirit of God spoke to me just as plain as day on the inside of me and said, the fear of man grieves me more than anything. The fear of man grieves me more than anything. Just plain as day. I thought, yeah. I never thought about that before, but that kind of makes sense. Grieves you more than anything? And I questioned, what do you mean anything? Like, you know, I was just thinking out loud. I was asking, but, you know, what do you mean by any grieves you more than anything? Like, more than witchcraft, more than evil, more than devil, more than what are you talking about? And so really basically well, the point was is that as he's making me be his servant, that if you're a servant of God, then sometimes men are going to, you know, reject you. They're going to, you know, say, hey, you know, who do you think you are saying that to me? Some of you probably have that, right? One way or the other. And it's you know, so if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself, you know, fearing man and making decisions because you feared men. Most of our life we're taught to reverence, fear our daddies, fear our mama, fear the beliefs, you know, basically, and fear authority. You know, so I think in the mixture of all that, we have a fear of man. Some of it's probably healthy, and much of it's not healthy, because we end up, you know, fearing what people think more than we do what, you know, what we think of ourselves and what God thinks about us. So I'm arguing with God about that, and I'm thinking, yeah, I know some people like that, exactly like that. That was my first basic thought. Like, yeah, I know some people like that, and because I had a reputation for being very, very, very bold. When I got saved to the bone, and I was bad to the bone as far as boldly sharing Jesus. I didn't care, you know, I just thought, man, because it wasn't boldness, it was love. I just had the love of Jesus just totally inundated me and filled me and thrilled me. And I mean, I've never felt loved in my life, you know, that I know of, like, not anything close to that. That was amazing. I've been in love with, you know, my first girlfriend, you know, I love with her, puppy love and all that kind of love. But, you know, and it's amazing, by the way, but there's nothing like being loved by God. And it was amazing. And so, you know, I was bold because I loved. I wasn't bold because I'm a strong person, you know, because I'm not really a strong person. But I look strong and I sound strong because when you learn to love God, you do what he says. And when you do what he says, you look like him, right? When we do what when we're reflecting our obedience unto him, whatever he's saying do, then you look like him. You feel like him, like Jesus, you know, the Son of God. We're never going to be the God. We're never going to be God or the Son of God, but we're going to be the sons of God, right? And we're all born in sin. Jesus wasn't born in sin. That's the difference between us and him. He was born God in the flesh. So really awesome. But I, you know, just loved him. And because I loved him and I wanted so bad for people to get this love. And my mission literally became getting them to connect with that love. My whole mission was that for years. And little by little, I kind of, you know, got away from that. I began to, you know, do a lot of fasting and a lot of different things, trying to become more holy and more righteous. And, you know, I'm learning and growing. I'm trying to find out, how do you get closer to God? You know, how do you do that? You read the Bible more? I read the Bible all the time. I love the Word of God like you guys do. You know, I'd love it. And just like, I'd hold it against my heart and literally felt love for the Bible, literally, you know. And so I just wanted people, I wasn't bold, in my opinion. I was just said, you know, these people got to have this. This is like, you want to just give it away. And people say, oh, you're the boldest person because of that. So when God told me I was, when he said the fear of man grieves you more than anything, I think, well, you know, I certainly don't fear man because I'm bold. Everybody knows I'm bold. Some people said I was the boldest person that they ever met as far as witnessing for Christ and not being ashamed, because when you love somebody, you're not ashamed of them. But it wasn't about being strong. I got to keep saying it because people think, you know, we'll get that mixed up. I was doing it. The Bible says if you prophesy and have not love, you're like a clanging cymbal. You have all faith, but you don't have love. You know, I can relate to that about having love. When you do things out of love, man, I mean, everything of God just works for you. His gifts, his power. I mean, people would just weep when I would tell them about Jesus, you know, and I didn't even know anything about him other than what I had experienced about it. I was never much of a reader, right? I didn't like to read the Bible. I didn't like to read anything. And I had to learn to make myself read. I think I read one book. I don't even finish the whole book in high school. I'm thinking, y'all, that's pretty bad. I didn't like reading. And so I got made myself read the Bible, you know, and start. But so I didn't really know anything about Jesus or God except what I had experienced from him. And what I had experienced from him was I was a dirty sinner. Dirty felt dirty. 6 hours, 3 times a day, most of the time if I could. You couldn't figure out why I never felt clean. I just couldn't figure this out, right? So when he cleaned me up, man, washed me pure as snow, man, it was like amazing. I was just amazed. And I looked in the mirror at myself. I used to stand to look at myself. I looked in the mirror one day, and I looked at myself, and the countenance that was on that face in the mirror, standing back, looking back at me, you know, my face, I just thought, man, I love the way you look. I mean, it's like, you are an amazing-looking person because my countenance was so lit up. And people call me Sunshine, you know, that was my nickname, Sunshine. And I did not even know why they were calling me that, you know. I just thought they were being nice. Honest to God, I really didn't know. And so, you know, I just couldn't figure things out. All I knew is that God is real and that if he loved me, he'll love anybody. And so you go about, you know, without reservation, because you're thinking if they can just, you just think they're going to get it, like you got it. They're going to get it. As soon as you talk to them, they're going to feel it. They're going to say, I want it, and they're going to get it. And you're just going to sit there together and just revel in the love of God. Literally, that's what my whole passion for life was. Because I didn't really know the Bible. I just knew the God of the Bible, but I didn't know anything about him biblically, right? So I'm just driven with this thing. And, you know, then I got to have all the church people and really cool church people, by the way. A lot of them were really nice people. They really dedicated to you. They fasted all the time. That's why I learned to fast. Fasting was just, you know, I thought everybody fasted like that. I mean, they fast 40 days, blink of an eye. But I'm serious, man. These people were like on fire. And, you know, not everybody, but, you know, a lot of them would. And so it was just, that's how I was raised in my first year or so. And so I thought that was normal. And so anyway, when the Lord told me that, you know, the fear of man grieves him more than anything, I just couldn't see that about myself. And I didn't even identify with that, not even an ounce, because of my, quote, reputation, you know. And so of not being afraid of men at all. Very bold, very, very bold person, that they said. And so if I'm thinking like, yeah, I know people like that. Man, that's an awesome revelation. It grieves you more than anything. That was the word, more than anything, 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 anything. How can the fear of man grieve you? So when you see this thing, when you, like most of you are probably sitting there, well, you know, I don't really have a problem with that. I think we should respect people and honor people. But, you know, I'm not going to try to push anything on anybody. I'm just going to tell you, man, if I, being a bold person in Jesus like I was, and shy, still shy in many ways, But when it came to, I was driven by wanting to get people to love Jesus and let Jesus' love get in them. I thought, if they get this, man, we're going to sit there and just roll around the floor and just, you know, love Jesus and be loved. I mean, it'd be just, that's what I dreamed of. And so, you know, it took him, he gave me dreams that I couldn't wake up from, right? You know, he really made sure that I got it. When God wants to help you with something, friend, he's really going to go after you about it. Not because he's trying to make you feel bad, right? But because he's trying to say, hey, you got this problem and you don't know it. In the future, like with me, I didn't know I was going to be a prophet. I didn't know what a prophet was. But he was preparing me for my calling for the future. And when you're a prophet, man, it's all – people just want, for some reason, they don't even know why, they just want to make you bow. I don't know what it is when I get around you. I just want to do something to see if you're going to bow. It's like that. It's really like that. People that like you and people that don't like you. I'm telling you. Trust me. That's exactly what it's like. And so, you know, and so they're trying to get you to bow. So the whole thing is, really much of what goes on is the fear of man. And I could still get caught up in the fear of man, you know, easily. And people say, well, I would never do that. I'm so bold. I'm so strong. I feel full of faith. I wouldn't even confess that, Brother Chandler. That's not really good. And in all truth, you know, friend, we can all, in fact, most of us, I think, live in the fear of man, don't even know it, like I was. And God gave me dreams, like I said, to the point I couldn't wake up in the dreams. I had people who, you know, I didn't really like that well. In the dream, they were telling me, you know, quoting scripture to me, Ephesians 6:6. I'll never forget it. And I just couldn't wake up from this dream. And I'd wake up finally and go, and I, like it was, you know, vexing. It was like, God was like really on me about this. And I'm going, dear God. So he's trying to change me. That my whole point tonight that I want to talk about, that's what God wants us to talk about, is changing. And if we're not willing to change, we're going to turn religious. I will, you will, we all will. You'll turn religious. If you start rejecting the change God wants to make with you, you're going to become a religious friend. You'll be just like all your religious buddies, who are probably really good people, but don't really have that great relationship with God. And they love him, of course, and feel like they know him. To a certain degree, of course, like I did, and yet I had the fear of man in my life, and God's like going, Randy, I need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. It's just really going to mess with you in the future. I didn't know about the future thing, but that I realize now that's why I'm dealing with it. So I'm not just dealing with the fear of man, I'm dealing with being able to let God change you and make you new on a regular basis, somewhat of a regular basis. And, you know, so here's the thing. When you give God your will and you say, God, not my will, but your will be done, get ready. Start moving on you in ways that you're going to step there and say, I don't want to go there. And it's too late. You already said yes. And so that's the way God is. He's very smart, as you know. And he gets us to say yes. He takes us out to dinner and butter us all up. And then would you marry me, or would you, you know, something like that, or would you, you know, dedicate your whole life to me and give me your will, because I can't take it, but if you give it to me, I will use you in my day. I will turn you into a real servant of mine, and we're going to get along really good. Would you just say yes to that? And you're going, well, you're all loaded up with, you know, a nice meal and a nice atmosphere, and he's telling you, you know, he's going to use you greatly. If you can just give your will, you know, oh, yes, oh, God, I will marry you, or I will, yes, I will give my will to you, or yes, I will spend my life for you. And as soon as he goes, yep, there we go, gotcha. And, of course, we know when God says gotcha, if you really know God, you know, that means he's really going to use it to do good for you, not bad, not 1 ounce of bad ever, of course. Even if he uses you and uses you in a way that you don't want to be used, that he's going to take it and he's going to reward you for that, just like the Jews. People don't realize that the Jews were used. They were used. God used them. He used them to get Jesus. He blinded them. Now, listen to this. This is what God did. It's in the Bible, so those of you who text me and say you don't believe it, that it's in the Bible. He blinded them. He had them crucify Christ and had to have a reputation for killing the most beautiful man that ever lived in the whole world. In the whole world, those anti-Semitic people just ridicule them for that. You people are bad. How can you, you know? And so they paid an awesome price for being chosen. So when you get chosen for something, friend, and God gets your will, you know, I think he did, like when Abraham said yes to God, little did he realize what was going to happen, man. I mean, he took control of Abraham's life, overall his purpose, because he knew that he had his will. Abraham was serious when he said, God, you got my will. You got it. I make covenant with you. God cut covenant with Abraham. And you go through and you see where he was cutting covenant. That means he's giving his will to him. He's coming to agree with God that God can do whatever God wants to do. Because just like Jesus knew that the Father knew things that he didn't know. He didn't know when he's coming back the second time, right? There's other things too, but he didn't know when he's coming back. He said, there's things that I don't know that my Father knows. Right? So he knew the Father was greater than him. And John 8 says that the Father was greater than him in the earth. And so, you know, where was I going with that? I was going with that because, you know, even Jesus had to, you know, give his will to the Father. And, you know, especially when he said, you know, at the Garden of Gethsemane, we could talk about this in a lot of different ways, but when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, what was the main thing? What's everybody talking about? Yeah, not my will, but thy will be done. What was he doing? There once again, just like Abraham, gave his will to the Father, and then pretty soon, what's God asking him to do? Over a long haul of time, asking him to give his son up. All right? And he knew because Abraham had given his will to the Father that he would will to do it. Just like when God gets your will, and over a season of time where he works in you, he knows, works in you a thing, just like he did with Abraham, that when it comes to him asking you to offer up your own son, your only son, and make sure he only had one son to offer up, where it was a total, whole, pure sacrifice, when he did that, he knew. Once he had his will and worked on his will over the years. That's what God does. He works on your will over the years. That Abraham would say yes. Because that's how it works. That's how it works. Same thing with Jesus. For 33 years, basically, overall. He was given his will to the Father, given his will to the Father. And you find him one more time in a major transition of his life saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Because he'll be brutally beaten and whipped and stripped of his flesh on his back and his body, crown of thorns on his head, being nailed in shame, having his disciples deny him, some, you know, one betray him, many denied him, and he's left all alone. There were people that still believed in him. His mama, you know, other people wept for him, but it was a shameful time. He was the conqueror. He was the mighty. He's going to be like David. All of a sudden, like, he's not conquering anymore. He's been caught. He's been busted in the system, and the system is taking him down. Y'all hear that? And the system. You know, you ever seen the system shame people and try to take people down? You ever seen that? Oh, they're doing that with Donald Trump right now. They are doing that with Donald Trump right now. Yeah. And it's an amazing thing. They're stripping him. They're trying to shame him. They're trying to do everything they can to show people, if you rebel against the system, this is what we're going to do to you. They just hauled off, like, what, 17, 18 people to go to the Arizona County Jail, whatever it was, the Scurry County Jail, to be checked in to the jail. Did you know that? Yeah, it's going on. So Jesus was totally humiliated. And why did he choose to do it? Because God had worked on his will for years. He was always, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do, and he chose to do it. Even if it didn't make any sense to him. When it came to the Garden of Gethsemane, getting ready to give his life, he asked the Father. and this cup pass from me. He actually literally basically begged him, please let this cup pass from me. Some versions say, please. Very difficult. But the whole purpose for everything you go through, friend, is for that, not the final choice, but the major choices you will make at the right time, that God knows with all the pressure going on that will be going on around you in your life at times, that if your will is not subject to him completely, that you will fail. You will deny, like Peter did. Some will betray. I don't know about betrayal. I don't think Christians are going to be betraying the Lord, but many deniers will deny him. So with me, he was trying to show me something to get my will at a higher level, at a deeper level, by saying, telling me something was wrong with me that I didn't know it was wrong with me. It was difficult. It was hard. I said, no way. Pretty soon, you know, I woke up one day, he worked on me for a while. I mean, I'm talking about months and months and months. I don't know how long it was, but it was not a short time. I couldn't get rid of it. It wouldn't go away. And then I began to look back, and he took me by the hand so gently, so kindly, and showed me every failure I ever had in my life, even as a non-Christian, was because I feared what people would think. I feared what my daddy would think. I feared what my mom would think. Mainly, I feared what people would think in general. You know, I just wanted to please. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be believing. And so when he showed me that, and then showed me other things in my life where I had failed as a Christian, nothing really major, but, you know, denying a friend when somebody needed me, I would find myself, you know, because everybody was against them, and that I found myself ashamed of them because everybody was against them, and, you know, even though I was their friends, I found myself. So I realized it was truly something that a problem. And so, you know, it was difficult. It was very, it's hard for me to even talk about it sometimes, but it was so sensitive, so, whoa, my God. And God's going like, Randy, that's you. And that's really basically everybody. Some a lot more than others, than how you're raised. And I began to go, God, okay. You know, I guess I do. And help me. And so I found myself yielding my will to the Father at another level that I never had before. I've been saved and walking clean and pure before Jesus. You know, I just like on fire for him when all this happened. And so, you know, he was going after my will. And sometimes to get your will, he has to get you to will, to agree with his will, that you got a problem with something. In many ways that God gets your will at a deeper level to carry you further and carry you through things that you never go through, unless you give him your will deeper. The deeper you give him your will, the deeper hell you can go through and go right through it and fear no evil. So every time you go through a problem, a situation, and you let him correct you, you have just opened your will up to becoming stronger in him. And when that happens, you'll be just like Abraham. And God says one day, I want you to offer up your son. God told Abraham that. And he goes like, what? He'd be like Jesus. Jesus says, you know, I'm just not, you know, I don't want this right now. I just can't let this cup pass from me. You know, like, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And God had even been working on Jesus' will, because he paid the highest price that any man could pay. What Abraham paid was pretty high, too. It was going to be high. He didn't have to actually do it, but he did it in his heart. Why did he do that? Why did he do such a horrific thing that was totally against, you know, what most people believe, thought were like other religions? You know, offered up their children and, you know, did that. How dare would God ask this? So, but yet, when you think about it, it was the very thing God had chosen from the very beginning, that one day his own very own son, God's very own son, would be born of a virgin woman, experience. And his own flesh and blood that he created, he put in the womb, would literally, he would set it up. God would set it up. His father would set it up where he would be brutally beaten and whipped and crucified and hung on the cross and die and be totally shamed in front of the whole world. The disappointment most Jews had when Jesus finally died was so disappointing. They just knew, like on the road to Emmaus, you know, that's what they were talking about on the road to Emmaus. Jesus had just died, then 2 or 3 days, and then 3 days or so, and they would talk about it on the road. Jesus shows up alongside them, resurrected from the dead, and they were talking about it. And Jesus said, well, you know, what happened? Like, he didn't know what happened. They said, oh, I mean, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know? We were just, they were so disappointed that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, because he was such a great man, did great things, had a great following, and yet the system rose up and killed him. It was so disappointing. They were so disappointed, man. They were just blown away. They were like heartbroken. And then he began to share with them how he had to die and use the scripture to show it. And he said their hearts burned within them. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Their hearts burned. I bet it did burn. Woo! My God, I just can't even imagine. That would be an amazing experience. But it's all about change. And Jesus, though he never sinned, he still changed. He still changed. He went from immature to mature. He learned obedience to the things that he suffered. So it wasn't just, you know, done. You know, you learn through suffering and obedience through suffering. And so so it's all that change, friend. And like one of the ways, I want to talk about this and I'm going to finish up. One of the things that I noticed that opens up change for me, hang on a second. One of the ways that I want to talk about this is very important. I talked about all this stuff to talk about this. So please, if you would listen closely. This is one of the ways that God uses to change me more than anything in the world. More than anything. And that is, he'll bring somebody, like just recently I had somebody, you know, these are people who I know love me and care about me. These are not enemies. They were saying, yeah, you know, some of that stuff you're talking about, that's New Age, and, you know, talking about doing this, doing that, that's New Age, that New Age, New Age. And I've had people tell me that before. It's not anything new. Anything you do something they don't understand, you know, or even talk about stuff, some stuff. You just talk about some stuff, not even saying do it or want to do it or part of it or just talking about it. They'll go off into a little thing. And I've done the same thing, too. I've done this, everything I criticize everybody about, I've done the same thing, right? So I want you to know that. So. But what happened is they start criticizing me about that. And this is one of the many ways God uses to teach me. He will use somebody, a friend or an enemy or in between, he will use them to criticize me or find fault with me about something I'm doing or not doing. And then I will get upset about it and go, what is wrong with those ignorant people? So, you know, I'm just being honest. What's wrong with those ignorant people? Don't they know? You know, I'm doing this because God is telling me this. And so you start going through all this stuff. And so here's the point. So he's allowing me to see something that I've done myself, right? I've done the very same thing exactly myself, maybe more, you know. And I'm seeing it happen through somebody criticizing me, and I get upset. I said, I can't believe they think I'm New Age about anything. I'm such a Jesus person all the way, my God. And I get mad, and I start thinking. And one of the things was about, you know, one of the things that New Age people do in that kind of New Age realm is, you know, they offer up, they drink blood. They talk about, you know, offering up children as sacrifices, you know, and lots of things that they do. And so I got mad. I get mad. Yeah, well, you know. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Randy, Abraham was offering up his child, not because it's like what the other evil people had been doing, offering up their children, killing their children, you know, Balak and all that. He said, who originated eating flesh and drinking blood? Who originated giving his son to die on a cross, or prophesied it in the Old Testament in many different ways? Maybe I'll say those exact words. Who originated all that about your own son and killing your son and offering your son up as a sacrifice and shedding blood? So what Abraham did wasn't New Age. It wasn't anything. It was what the Father, it's what the Father God had already said many years ago. But the evil guys, the witches and the warlocks and all that, all those people, they picked up on what God already said he was going to do, and they picked up on it, and they realized the power of eating flesh and blood, literally, and drinking blood of innocent children, and on and on and on it goes, still doing that to that. You know where they got that from? They got that from God Almighty. Because Jesus comes on the scene, he says, he's going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean, if you wouldn't have known he was the Messiah, if I'd have come on the show saying that, y'all have been going like, my God, let's run for the hills. Randy's that went and gone demonic. Right? That's what you'd be saying, most of you. You know, I would have been saying the same thing, I'm sure. Oh, my God, I can't believe he said. He just said, you know, that's what those bad people do, eat flesh and drink blood. I mean, one of my best friends, his brother was a warlock. A warlock, a real warlock in Louisiana. Back in Louisiana. Yeah, in Louisiana. And this is a good friend of mine, you know, and him and his sister had some real battles with their brother, who was a warlock. And he said they eat their flesh, they peel the skin off their fingers, and people eat it and drink blood. And, you know, I mean, they just do all kinds of things. And so if you say anything at all that's similar, like if you just say, you know, I can't believe Abraham would do, he must have really battled with that because that's what those bad people did. But the truth is God Almighty was the one who came up with that, eating flesh and drinking blood and offering up your child. See, that's how totally insane this is, that when the thing that God originated and began and had his plan to do from the time Adam and Eve sinned, that someone's going to come and it's going to be God's son, and he's going to die on the cross and shed his blood, and God orchestrated the whole thing, having whipped to where his back and his body was stripped, literally, where it's hanging down in strips of flesh like tassels from a, you know, from what the Jews wear. You know, Jesus said, we touch his tassels for healing. That's how bad they stripped him, man. The Father God orchestrated every single bit of that, just like he orchestrated with Abraham when he asked Abraham to offer up his son. So the very thing we have feared, I'm getting off on this, the very thing we have feared is that, oh, we don't want to talk too much about drinking blood and eating flesh, because you know what those devil people do, and we have not been able to consume that truth by the Holy Spirit, because something in us goes, we're fear, we're afraid of what people are going to think, we're afraid of what, you know, we're going to look like if we talk about it too much, because it's too much like what the devil people do. And yet what the devil people doing with all that is what God Almighty originated in the very beginning of the sacrifice of his own son. You see what I'm saying, y'all? And because of that, little by little, we have walked away from the very sacrificial thing that is supposed to save us, because we don't deeply believe it, because it's how, you know, even when I say it to this day, it's like I feel people going like, yeah, eat his flesh and drink his blood. Oh, God, that's like almost demonic. If I didn't know it was in the Bible, I think it was demonic. Exactly. And what so people are doing, they're not totally absorbing the body of Jesus in his blood and eating the flesh of a human being. See, that's what we're talking about. Every time we take communion, we're talking about, friends, eating the flesh of a human being, not of an animal, a human being. I tell people, oh, I'm not going to take communion because you know what? I just don't. And they just back off from the very thing that is one of the most powerful acts that God has ever given us to live by and have, that we somehow on the inside think and connect it to, well, you know, yeah, you know, I know Abraham offered up his son, but, you know, it's like those demon people. Yeah, I don't know what was in going on. I don't know what God was doing. And they can't even to this day admit that God had much to do with that. That's how crazy this thing is. That's how nutbag this thing is. That people, and when I talk about this, I've had people more text me on something. Well, God, I just don't believe God would do something like that. I don't think God would kill anybody. I don't think God would have anybody killed. Are you kidding me? You've been listening to Kenneth Copeland too long. And I love Kenneth Copeland. In those areas, he's got Twisted Sister as his best friend in some of those things. Twisted Sister. And we're walking around without the power of God, without the glory of God, without the manifestation of his body and his blood and the Holy Spirit manifesting through that sacrifice, that bloody mess that happened on the cross of Calvary and all the things that happened before that when he was basically tortured, which should have been tortured to death, stripped and bled like a suck hog. I mean, it was like, oh, my God. It's people, when they go watch the Passion of the Christ, I mean, Julie used to say, I don't want to go watch that, Randy. I said, why? He said, I just can't handle it. You know, and I kind of understand. At the same time, I'm going like, you know, do you realize that Jesus was born for that to happen to him? And he did it for you. I didn't say this to her. I'm just saying in general. And you don't want to partake of that and see it. Well, I know it's difficult. It's very difficult. But it's difficult to reveal the power. The difficulty of it is, and the pain and sorrow of it is, that we drink it. We drink his blood and eat his flesh, because the drinking that and the sorrow and the death and the pain he paid, he said, never forget this. Remember what I did. Remember me. Remember me what? That it was so wonderful and it wasn't that bad. And, oh, okay, I didn't shed that much blood, just a teeny weeny bit, because I don't want to offend anybody. And don't really have to eat my flesh. It's just kind of a symbolic thing. And we have compromised on the very thing that God had planned for thousands of years, to send his son to be brutally beaten and whipped and tortured, basically. And we sit there, for the most part, and say, oh, God, that is so sick. I just love Jesus so much. If you love Jesus so much, you will drink in that suffering, whipping, beating, painful, that no man could have endured. You will drink it in and look it right in the face and go, dear God, look what you did for me. This is beyond amazing. But we can't do that, no. Because you got people like Kenneth Copeland teaching people that God would never kill nobody. The devil only kills people. God would never have that done because God is a good God. It's a lying bunch of filthy trash from hell. Now, not everything he does is that way. That is the most pathetic. And I drank it for a long time, and it kept contradicting everything I felt about Jesus. The person that I knew Jesus, that Jesus in me was going, that's not me, Randy. That particular thing he's talking about there, that's not me. He's talking about something. That's a different God. That's a different gospel. That's a different Jesus. That's a different Lord. Not the same one. You got people today that will fight you over this, and yet it's the very thing that we are supposed to be drinking in. When he said, drink my blood, he meant what I did and what happened to me when my blood was shed. Drink that in. I did that for you. The pain was horrendous. It was beyond, it was torture. And I did it for you. And you don't want to look at it. You don't want to watch it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to partake of it. You don't want to drink that blood. Christianity has become today, friend, is what I'm talking about right there. It is the devil has lured us into this sleep. About we're going to be so careful. Some churches in the last 10 years, guess what? They wouldn't even talk about the blood because they didn't want to offend people. Y'all know about that, right? Oh, my God. I mean, that took years to get it there. And it got there, and it's still there, a lot of it, most of it, still there. My God is going to judge America? Why this country is so messed up, and the church mainly is so messed up, so compromised, and can't even hear from God about a lot of things that are important? Oh, this is huge. This is really, really huge. I mean, this is magnificent. Huge. And if you can't get this, I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know what's going to happen to you. But if you can't drink in the greatest suffering ever and look at it in the face and look at it with love and look at the sacrifice he made by watching everything that stripped his flesh from his back and pained him and the betrayal and the lies that they told about it to the purest man I could ever, and yet we can't absorb that and drink that in. That's what drinking his blood is. You're drinking in how the blood came out, not just that it was blood. No, it's the way the blood came out, the suffering. He said, if you suffer with me, you'll be glorified with me. But we don't want that part. I don't want to talk about that. And here's the problem with it. Here's what happened. We don't absorb his suffering, able to drink his blood and think about what he suffered and think about what he did. He said, please remember me. Remember me, not the one, not this other God, not this other Jesus that they try to make so pretty and pomp and nice and this. No, the one whose his blood was splattered everywhere on everything and on everybody around him. It was a bloody mess. It was horrific. So when you start going through suffering, guess what? You fall apart. You know why? You know why you fall apart? Because you're not able to look at the suffering he went through. Peter said, I don't want to be crucified right side up. I want to be crucified upside down because I don't deserve. Because he saw what the sufferings of Christ was a honor and a beauty. There was a beauty to it. That he didn't even want to be, you know, I don't want to even try to copy that in any kind of way. No, hang me upside down. Because Peter understood the sufferings of Jesus. But most people don't want to hear it. You know why? Because when they're suffering, they whine and cry and whine and cry and whine and cry. You know why? Because they don't know how to suffer. They haven't really looked into the eyes and looked upon the flesh and the body of Jesus and his sufferings. And because they've been able to do that, when they suffer, now they don't last, you know. Oh God, they'll be betraying you, backstabbing you, gossiping about you, betraying you, and whatever else about you. Because they don't really look into that Jesus. That's not the Jesus that they're worshiping. They've gotten off into a whole other Jesus. I'm talking about some of you and some of me. Paul said they preach any of the gospel of what I preach. Let them be accursed. It means that they're not really preaching the right Christ. So what they have is like nothing. They're not blessed. They're cursed. I know this is not easy to take tonight, and I didn't plan on preaching it, but I was going somewhere else. But I'm telling you, God is making us aware to me. He said, Randy, we eat communion. He says, remember me. When you eat this, what are we doing? We're eating what he did. What about some lamb and having lamb chops in the days of Israel and Egypt? You know, it's just that with Jesus on the cross, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember how I suffered. Remember and look right into the face of it. Look right into it. See every stripe. You know why some people don't get healed? Because they can't look at the 39 stripes because it's too painful to look at it. Because my God, I mean, it just rips right through me when I see that movie and I think about that. I can't even look at that. You know why? You know, that because that stripe, the devil doesn't want you to look at that. He doesn't want you to feel that pain, because when you feel that pain that Jesus did and remember it, guess who gets healed? You do. Guess who gets delivered? You do. Guess who gets those devils cast out? You do. But our eyes are way too, we just like a, I don't know, I wonder if most people are really saved. I really do. Not because they're in sin. And it's sad. Some people are not even born again. The most righteous people you ever seen in your life, really good people. Jane Robinson's wife is one of us. Pure, innocent little Betty. Everybody knew she was a pure, innocent person in the world. One day she realized she wasn't even saved. She got saved, and Jane and her husband altar call. It's amazing. All right, let's pray for people tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you for, I didn't plan on going tonight. I think I wanted to go somewhere else, and we ended up going there. So glory to God. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. All right. Okay. Let's get ready for that. Okay, so hang on a second here. Let me do this real quick, and I'll be right there. Okay. All right, let's take our caller tonight. All right, we're getting ready to do Zoom. We're going to be doing Zoom. I'm getting all set up right now. This very day I've been working on it, making room, getting cameras ready. It's not going to be anything like the studio we had before. It's not really a studio, but we're making a studio out of what we have. So we're going to be doing that. Hopefully we're going to be able to do the Blood of the Rose Thursday. Today's Wednesday already. And so we're setting up. We have Zoom already set up. We paid for it. We've been practicing on it. Using Zoom, we'll have a four-camera setup on that, by the way, with monitors, the globe going again and the doorpost and that kind of thing. We'll be doing all that tomorrow, and it may just last for a few minutes as far as just actually show that part so we can kind of break the ice with it. And it's a lot to set up, and it's a lot to get going. Once we get set up, it's a little bit easier, but we have to get it all going first and connect everything, get everything working and sync with each other. So, all right. So, okay, let's take our first call tonight. I think that people got knocked off already. I'm asking them if they wanted to get back on there or not. I don't know. Checking on a second. All right. Starting off tonight here, thank you for being with us. All right, 240-222, I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Brother Randy, it's Daryl Paul and Nicole from Maryland and D.C.
Oh, y'all snuck one up on me. That's not the number you always call. That's going to cost you. That is going to cost you something. I don't know what. I will send some text, and they'll be very private. You now. That was pretty sneaky. I love that. Y'all are strategizing. Okay. All right. I'm going. Thank you very much. All right. Yeah, I thought I was just texting them, asking them if you guys or your guys get knocked off or something. Yeah, they pulled a good one on me. I love that. 240-222. What a number. A lot of twos in that one. 222-8722. And that begins with a two. So the two, you two, are 222222. Anyway, we got to mess with that a little bit. All right. Thank you, God, for Daryl Paul and Nicole. Thank you, Jesus, for all their love for God's people. We love your love for God's people. I just feel the love for God's people in you guys and that growing and growing, you love for each other and love for the body of Christ and love to serve. You know, when you become a servant, you fall in love with God's people. Just like when I talked about tonight, at first I say, you know, I just love God and I love everybody. I just thought, man, God can love me, he can love anybody. So I just started loving everybody, literally. Because I never thought God could love me. How could God love me, right? And man, when he touched me, when he loved me and showed me the love, oh my gosh, I've never felt a love like that before. So I feel this thing with the love of God with you guys, that God just really bringing a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of fear and reverence for all of God at the same time. And, you know, to reverence him and to respect him and honor him and to release that honor into the body of Christ. And to serve him as servants, to be yoked up together, being yoked together with him. And so thank you, Lord, for Daryl, Paul, and Nicole, God. We thank you, Jesus, for your blessing on them. We thank you for your blood over them, God. We thank you for your covenant. It's just like Abraham, how many times they've cut covenant, how many times they've, you know, probably at different times, Nicole wanted to go a different way, do a different thing, do a different stuff. All these things come up that we could go all these different ways, and yet they kept cutting covenant with Nicole, cutting covenant with God. And Daryl Paul, now we've known him for a few months now, and several months now, and so it's like he's you know, when you start walking together with God, you cut covenant, meaning that, you know, like Jesus, the day Jesus, Daryl and Nicole was at the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he was cutting covenant with God when he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He was very serious, and he knew it was serious, and he knew something, you know, major was up and the pressure was on. And in the midst of the pressure, y'all, he said, you know, "I will not go my own way. I will go your way." The reverential fear of God. And yet, driven by the love for his Father. Woo-ah! My God, man, that's amazing. Driven by the love of the Father. And Lord, I thank you that you know who's driving y'all's car, who's driven you, it's the love of the Father, the love of Jesus to drive. Jesus was moved, or he was driven by love and compassion, by compassion. He was moved by compassion. He was driven. He was moved by it. It moved him. Or he moved, in other words, when he was moved, he moved from, you know, East Jerusalem to South Jerusalem. In other words, he was moved. He was drawn. He was driven. You know, when it says he left John the Baptist being baptized by John, he was driven into the wilderness, you know, and he was moved. He was moved and driven. So God is going to move y'all, and it's going to be many times, sometimes it's going to be like he's going to be driven, like he was driven into the wilderness to be tested, to be tempted by Satan, and the Father was going to do a lot of things with him. He was moved with compassion to, you know, all these moving things, driven, moved. Maybe there'll be a message about this. I'm just getting this. He was driven into the wilderness. He was moved. It's all about, you know, going somewhere. He was moved with compassion. And, and he can. I can only do and go where I see my Father go and do. Yeah, and I thank you, Lord, for that blessing in their life. I thank you, Lord, I release that into them. And thank you, Jesus, for opening them up to those new places, God, of your love. And the blessing of God, the blessing of love, God, that the reason that I was, everybody said I was so bold. I've never been a bold person, really, as far as cocky, maybe, back in my days, you know, in athletics. I was the only cocky in athletics. That's the only thing I could do right. But everything else, I was like, So, you know, That love thing, love just made me bold. It wasn't because I was bold, because the love, when you think through love, you think, I'm thinking, man, if he loves me, he loves all these people, and they don't even know it. I'm thinking they don't even know it. If they knew it, they would be doing what I'm doing. And I didn't know very many people ever do it. I'm sure there were a lot of people somewhere doing what I was doing, but I didn't know them. I'm thinking if they knew what I knew about God, they wouldn't even be doing all that stuff they're doing. I would have been, oh my God. And so I was driven or moved with compassion to go forth. And that was my motive. That was my intention, literally. And so when people said I was bold, I didn't even know what that word was. I'm thinking like, I hope that's a good thing. I'm so ignorant. I didn't know what bold was. Never heard the word bold before. He said, you're bold, Shannon. I'm going like, I just act like I knew what they were talking about, but I didn't have a clue. I'm like, well, okay, I think it sounds like it might be good. You're bold. I'm going, oh, okay. Okay. See y'all tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, right. And it was love. All you need is love. My mama told me one time, you can't live by love, Randy. And I knew what she meant, you know, but at the same time, boy, was she ever wrong. Right and wrong at the same time. Yeah. Anyway, okay, there you go. I don't know what that's about, but awesome. 325-280. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, my brother. All right, Chris, good to have you. Yeah, I still think about that word, you know, we gave you, what was it, last week? And about the dirt moving guy from Kenneth Hope Ministries. I think I finally figured out his name is Mac. Yeah, I figured out his name. His name is Mac. And I remember Mac coming out there, and I hadn't thought about him in years. I saw that back in the 90s, back in 95, somewhere in there, 96. And so I just what I think about you. I don't know why I got a hold of that, but the Lord just, sometimes he's trying to show me what people are like, right? So he's trying to show me, then I tell you what he's showing me to show you, you know, so you can, so you have something to, something maybe new, something different to connect to. And then I kind of find out the next day, Chris texts me. I think I've already talked about this once, but Chris texts me and he says, Randy, I just happen to be moving dirt with this machinery all week long. And I'm going like, oh my God, talk about confirmation, you know, to him. You know, he's a man of faith, he's a man of faith. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for Chris. God, I thank you for the power of God and the authority of God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the power and authority of the Lord Jesus flowing through him and opening him up to his purpose, that he can't even do his purpose. What God does is he starts showing us what he wants us to do, and then we start having to yield ourselves to him to walk in that power and authority, the authority of the Lord and the power of the Lord. And so, God, I thank you for the process that you're walking him through to connect to that authority more and more and more all the time. And he grows in it, and he moves in it, and he lives in it, and he dwells in it, learns that it's just part of, it's not something extraordinary he has to have. It's something that he's equipped with. It's like it came with a package. It's not something you have to order later on when you get more mature, or, you know, it's something that comes with the package. But God, we just have to unravel the package, unwrap the package, and start trying to do like a computer. When you get a computer or a phone, you know, there's a lot of things to those phones with computers. So you have to learn all the, and the more you learn about them, the easier it is to use them, right? So the same thing with God. The more we learn about him, the more we find ourselves being able to walk with him and be used by him, and to let him use us, right? Because you start, you know, so going through and taking time to create it like a computer or a phone, you know, and find out all the things that are there, the tools that are in phones. People are going through a lot of trouble to do things on their phones and different things and keep up with stuff when their phone could easily keep up with it. It's the way it's been made. And so when you find that out, when I found out about notes, when notes became my life, and I keep my phone by me at night. In the middle of the night, I wake up and I get the word. I can just like, I barely talk, but I talk it into the word, talk it into my phone. Next morning, I get up and there it is, right? That's just one little thing, but there's so many things that God's shown me about, you know, my computers, my phones, that I used to spend hours doing things. Now I spend maybe a few minutes doing it because I learned how to use the thing. So the same thing with God and his word and his power and his authority is that, you know, it comes with a package. It's like in that computer. It's all in there, but we have to find it and take the time to, you know, go through it and take videos, video teachings and video, watch videos about it and learn everything we can about it. And that way when somebody else has a problem with their phone or somebody else has a problem with their life, you know, hey man, if you'll tap in this and tap that and click over here and double click this and then put your name in there and put your number in there, it'll automatically do it for you. And you won't have to spend your time doing it. You see what I'm saying? So the more that we spend our time learning about him and discovering all the tools that we have that are already in us. We don't have to special order it later on. It's already packed in there. But only those who really want to learn are going to spend the time and watch videos and watch things that you know, that teach us everything our phone has in it or our computer has in it. So we can get things done faster and easier, and we've already paid for it. Here's the thing. It's already paid for. We already bought the computer, already bought the phone. It's all paid for, and it's sitting in there, and we're not using it. Yeah. And so God is going to show you, brother, how to, you know, with your hunger for him, to search out and find out, how does this work, God? I'm spending hours in prayer when I could be spending a few minutes in prayer, because it's not about how long I pray. It's a prayer. It's not about how long I pray. It's about how effective that I pray. Right? And so when you pray effectively, you can get that done in 3 minutes. You know, I used to brag about praying 8 hours. Man, I think that was really, you know, I'm so holy. I'm so, and it was a big deal. You know, it's fun. But I realized that, I'm going to sneeze. Hang on a second. Wow, that was a good sneeze. Hallelujah. I'm getting deliverance, man, giving you a word. How about that? I'll take it. Yeah, so, you know, so when we understand something, then we're teaching somebody else. We can teach people. And so you'll become the generation, Chris, that teaches people, you know, you don't have to pray 8 hours to get something from God. If you want to pray for 8 hours, go for it. But you know what? When you become an effective prayer, you can pray for 3 minutes or, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. And, you know, 3 seconds, you can get an answer. You know, some people spend days fasting and praying. That's just one of the things I learned from my friends. And even I heard men of God say this, you know, get in the closet and pray and don't come out until you get your answer. Some people came out without the answer. Some people, you know, it's been a long time in that closet trying to get answers. When you're effective with things, it means you get things done fast. When I did painting, commercial painting, I could paint a room professionally as a professional in half the time that most people could do it, because I was fast and effective, because I knew how to do. I knew exactly what I'm doing. That I didn't have to stop and think about anything. I boom, 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 done. I could get 3 rooms done when everybody else is still working on the first one. Honest to God, I'm not exaggerating, but and they say, well, how did you do that? You know, you already done. I said, yeah, I'd be done in, you know, 3 hours. They had to work 8 hours and barely get theirs done. They had to come back the next day. Why? Because I became very efficient, very good at what I was doing, and I focused, and I so zeroed in on what I was doing that it just like boom, 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 done. Boom, 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 done. Yeah. And so I see God really doing it with you and helping you to find your focus and be able to dig into and discover all those tools that have come with the package that's already been paid for by Jesus that's inside you, bro. And God's going to unveil them for you and reveal them for you so you can walk in that, in the full authority, in the full power of God. That's what he wants. Let's go 100-fold. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 502-548. Who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Greg from Kentucky.
Greg from Kentucky?
Yep.
Hey, Greg. How you doing? All right, good to have you tonight, bro. Thank you, Jesus, for Greg. Father, for the power of understanding. God, you've given him a desire to understand things, I mean, some people want to understand things. Everybody wants to understand stuff. But it's like Paul the Apostle prayed that he would, that we receive this, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that so we can understand and receive understanding, spiritual understanding. And in Ephesians, he prayed that. And so I really see God doing that with you, where he gives you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, so you can understand things. And all you're getting, the Bible says, get understanding. So that's one of your jobs. That's one of the things you're going to do, is help people understand things. If you don't really understand something, you can't really teach it to somebody. You can't really show it to somebody. Once you understand it yourself, not just read books about it, but understand it yourself, you got it down. You could do it in the shower.
You can do it, you know, driving down the road. You can do it standing, because you understand it, you know it. And so God's going to really use you to show other people how to do things, you know, how to bring understanding. Because Greg, the reason people can't do things is because they really don't understand what they're doing. They're just taught some religious thing, saying do this and do that. It's a formula thing. And they do the formula thing, and they can't figure out why it doesn't work, because they don't really understand. But when you understand things, then they become easy for you, right? And so I see God using you to do that, to help people understand things, because you're gonna find yourself understanding things. And a very, like Peter was told by Jesus, you know, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father did. In other words, the Father, when the Father gives it to you, you understand it. You got it. It's like, wow, man, why didn't I get this before? I don't know. But now I understand. So once you understand it, you can sit down and tell somebody else in a way that they can understand it, right? Which is very much needed with people in all walks of life. When people teach, they don't really understand what they're teaching. They're just, they got it down in their head. They know the formula, but they don't really even understand it themselves. So when somebody understands it, they become the better teachers, because the better teachers are people who understand things. And when they teach you, you can ask them any question, and they'll give you an answer because they understand the basics of it. They understand the root of it. They just don't know the formulas of it. They understand how it works. You can ask them any question. Somebody who just knows formulas, they have a hard time answering questions, right? And you get off the script, they don't know. Why? Because they don't understand it. So God's really going to show you how to understand things and get things from Him and know things. So, all right, very cool. All right, 828-989. Who am I talking to? Come, please.
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Jennifer from North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. Jennifer,
hi.
All right, Jennifer, thank you a little for Jennifer tonight. Thank you for Jennifer. God, I thank you for the power to believe. God, there's some areas, there's always things that we believe, but we help our unbelief. And I see God really showing you how to be honest with Him. You know, sometimes we're taught, you know, how to be hypocrites, and we don't even know it. We don't know. We think that's the right thing, just to deny our feelings, deny ourselves, and don't really pour out our life to God. We don't really pour out our negative things to God, because we're afraid that if we say it, it's going to make it bigger. But you know, I talked about this last night a little bit with somebody, that when you pour out your gut feelings to God, you say, God, I'm worried about this. I know I'm not supposed to, but I still do. And, you know, I know you're my Savior. I know you're my Lord. I know you can do it, but you're going to have to show me and teach me. And God loves that honesty. He loves the honesty. A beautiful prayer that smells good to God is not one that goes, I fast, you know, several times a week. I keep the law. I do everything right. I go to church. I don't smoke. I don't drink. And I don't chew. And I don't dip. And all those things that other people do. And so we think that because that's such a positive prayer, that God thinks that's a sweet smelling thing. That's the stench in the nostrils of God. When the guy was back at the back in the Bible, beating his breast, saying he was a sinner and he didn't worry, you know, and the guy down in the front was telling God what a righteous person was. He goes, His positive thinking prayer was a stench in the nostrils. God said, I don't even hear that nonsense, bunch of positive nonsense. It's phony. It's fake. But the guy in the back, he's being honest. Like David was being honest with God. He would be honest with God. And you hear David cry out and, you know, in grief and sorrow. And where are you at? You forsaking me? What are you doing? I don't know where you're at. And then 5 minutes later, he's like going, you know, singing praises, and he's really happy, he's really broken through. Why? Because he went through the process of pouring out his nonsense, his stuff that was messing with him. He got it out of him so he could be filled up with God's glory. And so when David was pouring out all that negative stuff, I used to read that stuff and go, man, I think that smells to God. Like, where are you at, God? I don't know. You forsake me, you leave me, what's going on? And I'm thinking, how can it be so negative? Because back then I was a Kenneth Copeland guy, right? How could it be so negative? Those prayers, I didn't want to read them because they irritated me. And the Lord said later, he said, the reason it irritated you, Randy, because it's touching something in you, but you're not being honest like David was. If David wasn't trying to hang on to this stuff, he was just trying to tell God, God, without you, I can't make it. And here's why I can. And here's why I'm feeling. What's going on? And he poured out all of his stuff, got it out of him. And then God, you know, and he said, God, I trust you. I believe you. I know this isn't right, but please help me. God. And he was totally dependent upon God and knowing that he couldn't do it himself. That's what was going on. Jesus did the same thing at Gethsemane in many other places. Even when he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? I mean, he was just being, you know, he was going through what he was going through. He wasn't a hypocrite. He said what was going on. When he didn't want to go to the cross, he said, let this cup pass from me. I mean, that was pure and honest, you know. And so that was a sweet-smelling savor to the nostrils of God. So prayer that is pure and honest before God, not hypocritical and full of, you know, half-baked thinking stuff, because you don't want to say you're feeling negative, because if you do, it's going to create something negative. That is the biggest lie from hell I've ever heard in my life. You know, if you – anyway, so there is some truth to, you know, having evil thoughts and focusing on evil thoughts. But when you're pouring your heart out to God, you're not thinking about your evil thoughts being like you enjoy them. You're trying to get rid of them. You're trying to say, God, I'm not doing good. I hate this. You know, please help me. And you know, so when I realized that, it was amazing. So, God, I thank you for showing her what pure altar of incense, the sweet-smelling savor prayers, what they really are. What it really means to pray a prayer that's full of, you know, it's not full of, you know, people think that the incense that smells so good was our prayers have to be so perfect and pure in the fact that we're just saying everything nice and sweet. That's not it. Sweetness is the pure honesty that we have and our pure dependency upon Him. And those prayers, though they're full of anxiety and stress, and Jesus even stressing out saying, Father, you know, you've forsaken me. What are you doing? I mean, he never sinned with any of that, right? He was pouring out his heart. He was honest. He was pure before God, knowing that his human part were struggling and battling, and he didn't hide it before God. Sometimes we think we have to hide stuff to have that prayer life of it smells good before God, but that's a lie. The truth is that he wants us to be truly honest and pure and, of course, fall upon God and depend on him for truth, for what we really need, and that's his power and his presence, because we can't do it ourselves. That's what smells good to God. That's what smells really good. And God answers those prayers too. And you see with David and Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight, God, that you're encouraging her, showing her how to break through. So we have to get that stuff out by just talking it out. It's like people say, get the positive thinkers say, you got to talk it to get it. Well, you got to talk it to get it out. You got to talk it out. You don't just talk the word of God in. You have to talk out, confess your sins, confess your feelings, confess your shortcomings. Even sometimes you're not confessing sin, you're confessing your anxiety and stress you're having. Like Jesus wasn't sinning when he said, you know, why have you forsaken me? That sounds like a sinner's prayer if you think the wrong way. But you realize he was not sinning when he said that. He was just saying that's what he was experiencing. And so, so God's going to help us out on all this stuff. He's really been changing me on it, and I feel thankful. I think my prayers are a lot sweeter smelling to God than what mine used to be. A lot of it came through the teaching of men, and they were wonderful people in many ways, but they caught a lot of wrong things. Really sad. And I changed, and I'm changing. Thank God for that. All right. 910-567, who am I talking to? Something?
Hello, this is for Dale in North Carolina.
Dale?
Dale, uh-huh.
Yeah, I do. Okay, thank you. All right, Dale, thank you very much. North Carolina, thank you, Dale. Thank you, Jesus, for Dale tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for just splashing Dale with your pleasure, with your joy, God, splashing Dale with a just like washing, you know, with that beautiful splashing, like when you go to the lake or you go to the swimming pool, whatever, splashing and having fun. I just see you like having fun with the Lord. I see Dale having fun with the Lord, and just, you know, not thinking that Jesus is so rigid that every time we mess up something, he like looks down at the ground like, my God, and how many more times are you going to mess up? It's more like he looks at you with compassion and love and understanding, and then he just starts laughing and giggling about it, starts playing with you. Lord, I just messed up. I just said something I shouldn't have been saying. And sometimes we think if God doesn't rebuke us, we think that something's wrong. Sometimes the way he gets us out of that thinking, Dale, is he gets us to giggle and laugh a little bit. He gets us to think about other things. He distracts us, right? He distracts us from things, from thinking and certain things. He gets our mind at a whole different level. I remember the first time I had an open vision of Jesus. Well, the only time I had an open vision of Jesus was driving down the road. Literally driving around, had an open vision, and saw Christ standing there before me laughing. He was laughing so hard, he had his hand on his belly. You know, and I never saw that part of him before because I was an extremely serious Christian. And it changed my life because I started realizing that when I messed up, sometimes he was laughing about it. Sometimes he thought it was funny because I just, had such a goofy look on my face when I, oh, my God, what have I just done? And he just, oh, God, there's Chandler going at it again, that dummy. What's wrong with him? It's like, you know, he said, Chandler, come on, man, loosen up. You'll loosen up a little bit, you know. You'll find yourself being able to walk with me a lot easier. And then I see him standing there laughing. And I'm thinking, what's he laughing at? Probably the way I drive or what? I didn't know. What's he laughing? He was just laughing. It was a beautiful laugh. It was just a beautiful, he had the glory of God all over. He was just laughing. He was holding his belly. He was laughing so hard. Gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh. And it was the Lord Jesus. First time I'd ever seen him, you know. And it was and the last time I ever saw him, as far as vision dream. But, it's truly amazing. So I see God really doing it with you, Dale, and blessing you and opening you up to that, making life more beautiful, making life more fun. And even though you're serious about God, you're not going to be so serious about yourself all the time. You're going to find yourself being less serious about yourself and more forgiving, more non-judgmental towards yourself, and a lot more free toward when you make a mistake. You just kind of laugh it off instead of, condemn yourself for 3 days and go on a fast. Oh, God, and whip yourself, you know, as we do. I've done that many times, whip myself. No, not physically, of course. I wouldn't courage enough to do that, but I whip myself with my own thoughts plenty of times. And God says, man, you gotta stop that, Chandler. You gotta stop that. That's hurt. That's making it worse. That's not making it better. It's making it worse. But I just begin to laugh. Sometimes I mess up something. And I mean, even sometimes with my kids, whenever you're like, when I learn to do this, I see them do something just really stupid and dumb. And instead of getting upset with them, I found myself just laughing my head off about it. Going like, Dad, what are you laughing about? I said, I don't know. I can't tell you right now. That's just so funny. And literally, they would begin to laugh too. And yeah, so yeah, it just opens up the door. So I see that happen with you, Dale. Really good. Amen. All right. 214-616, and we'll talk to you friend, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you also pray for Zena?
Zena, yes. Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Zena tonight, Lord. We thank you for the ministering angels, God, to heal the deep wounds, God. Heal deep wounds, that vindictive spirit that tries to, think that you're going to find a peace by causing, trouble and pain and heartache and trouble. God, that she will be able to see that you have vindicated her. You have vindicated, vindication comes from you, that you repay, that we don't repay. When we repay, it causes us to get into the payment system and then we have to start paying for our own sins. Like when we don't forgive somebody, we pay for that. Because it says the Father doesn't forgive. When we don't forgive, the Father doesn't forgive us. It's not a go to hell thing or sin, when you start finding yourself sinning against a brother or a sister, from that day on, the Father doesn't forgive you of your sin. Until you forgive that brother or that sister, as soon as you forgive them, then you become forgiven from the Father. I just started seeing this just lately. And I never really understood that before. And I said, God, we don't go to heaven because we get our sins forgiven. We go to heaven because we get forgiven of being a sinner, not sins. I don't name 35 sins and then leave out five of them and then I didn't make it to heaven because I didn't confess them all. I came to God as a sinner, not as somebody who just had certain sins. I came to God as a sinner. I got born again as a sinner, right? So I can understand it for a long time. So when it says the Father doesn't forgive you, it's not about you going to hell now. It's about hell's going to be more apt to mess with you in the earth because of your unforgiveness. Because then you will find yourself not being able to be forgiven. And when that's happening as a Christian, and that's what the Bible says, then not being forgiven by the Father means that you're opening yourself up to all kinds of trouble and things, and hopefully it'll, you know, turn around and cause you to turn around. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for all the times that when you didn't forgive me and I went through that thing where you weren't forgiving me because I hadn't forgiven my brother. My God, it was horrible, absolutely horrible. You used that to break me. And, God, I think Regina, God, you used that to break her and remake her, God, in Jesus' name, to be a blessed woman of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And for Terrence and Tanisha, Lord, thank you for Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence God tonight, that the overcomer, that overcomer inside of him, you know, that knows we don't overcome by our own will, but we overcome because we will the will of God. Right? It's not our own will that does it. It's our own will. Our own will connects to the will of the Father. And when we connect to the will of the Father, then His will is done in our life. So it's all about the will. I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. It's all about the will, what we will, what we will. And our will wills God's will, then it happens, right? We don't just will it on our own. Oh, I will this and I will that. I will the will of the Father. When you will the will of the Father, then the will of the Father happens. When you will, you know, when we will our own will happens. We come short of the glory, right? So willing His will is what connects us to the power to do His will, is yielding to His will, willing His will. Jesus said, not my will, but Thy will. I yield my will to Your will. I'm not making my will to do the suffering thing. I'm causing my will to yield to Your will. And because of that, then You will in me and through me, because I yield my will to You. I don't will to be a good man. I don't will to do good things. I will to do the will of the Father. And when you do that, then His will to do good comes through you and in you. It's a whole different thing, a whole different level. Most people don't know that, but they will to be good. They will to do the right thing. They will to be nice. They will to forgive. They will all that. And they find out that they come short every time because we will to will the will of the Father. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but Thy will. He yielded His will to the will of the Father. And that's what gave Him the power to do the will of the Father. Not because He was choosing, okay, I'm going to will to suffer and go to the cross and be beaten and whipped like a bloody pulp. And no, he couldn't have done it on the he yielded His will to the Father, and when He did, power and the authority of God are flowing through Him. Amen. Wow, what a great work. That's awesome. Man, I'm hearing some cool stuff tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Tanisha, God. We thank You, Lord, for tabernacling with You, God, that beautiful countenance, that beautiful life in her, God, the countenance of Christ in her come forth. That the countenance, like when I know when I first got saved, they called me Sunshine because, you know, I was so condemned and down on myself. And when I realized Jesus loved me, when God loved me, my countenance completely changed. Yeah, it wasn't because I quit smoking and drinking and cussing. You know, no, it was because I realized He loved me. And when I realized He loved me, man, that changed everything, right? I didn't have to try to do good. All I needed to know was that He loved me. And when He actually literally showed that to me, Tanisha, like I know He does you too, everybody gets a little bit different way, but when I got it, I did everything I did because I loved Him. I did everything I didn't. I chose not to. I didn't even want to do those other things anyway, but I chose to tell people about Him because I loved Him, right? My countenance was, and so Lord, I thank You for that countenance. It comes from the love of God and her, God, that will everything she does, she will do out of love. Even when it's sometimes hard to tell people things that are hard to hear, that she will do it out of love, God. It's a love thing. And we will do it boldly and without fear, because love casts out all fear. When you do it out of love, when your motive is love, the love of the Father, and our love, but the love of the Father, man, fear just goes away. That's why people told me I was so bold, because I had no fear. Why? Because I was walking in love. I wasn't walking in, I have no fear, I have no fear, I have no fear. No, I didn't even think about that. I was just like thinking, man, I love Jesus. I want everybody to know he loves me. If he can love me, he can love anybody. And I thought, everybody's got to hear this, man. And it was, you're so bold. You have no fear about you. That wasn't it at all. It was, the root of it was, I love Jesus, and because Jesus first loved me. Woo! Hallelujah, girl. That's amazing. My whole countenance just showed it. And I didn't even know it until one day I looked in the mirror, months later. One day I looked, I finally took the courage to look in the mirror and go, my God, that's a beautiful person right there. And my countenance was just radiating with light. Because he, all for one reason, because I knew he loved me. How big is that? It didn't matter if anybody else loved me or not. I hope they did. But man, now that I knew he loved me, my struggle for love was over. I struggled with love. I wanted to love. I wanted to be a loving person. I wanted to love, 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 love. And I just couldn't do it. I just thought, what's wrong with me? I can't love. I think most people can love, but I just couldn't seem to love. And man, and so when I met his love, it's like, wow, this is what love is really like. I don't think I'd ever experienced it before. Amazing. Anyway, your countenance, the countenance of love. 312-841. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
This is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. All right, Marja.
Hello.
Thank you, for Marja. Thank you, Lord, for that spirit of success, God, that her success, that her being successful and a success, God, showing her what a true success is, what success really is, that success is, loving God. And if you love God, you're going to love your brother. Like the Bible even said, if you don't love your brother, how can you love God? And so that whole thing about success is about love. I see God wants you to be very successful. I think God wants to make you very successful. And I don't mean just like in a spiritual way. I'm talking about, I don't say this to that many people. I think everybody, God wants everybody to be successful, of course. But for some reason, when I hear your voice, when I talk to you, something in me just wants to say he wants to make you a success. Be successful. Successful in whatever you do. You may always come short of one or two things and be successful in 10 and come short of two, but it's better than being successful in two and coming short on 10. You know what I'm saying? It's like I see you, we always have areas of our life that we're going to be working on always. But God's going to really show you about success. That's what he told Joshua. Joshua's success wasn't about money. It wasn't about marriage. He was already married, had children, all that. But it was, he said, if you meditate on the word of God day and night, so Joshua chapter 1, I think. He says, you become successful, right? So I really see you doing that. I see you walking in that. I see God showing you how to, what true meditation of the word of God really is, right? A lot of people meditate on a lot of different things, but when the Holy Spirit comes in you, Marja, to be able to focus, I think meditation is more like focusing on, without even really trying, just focusing on him without struggle, without strain, just like you just focus on him, focus on him, focus on him. And the same thing he told Joshua, focus on him. Instead of saying meditate, I'm saying focus. Focus on him, Joshua, and you become successful. So that you will be successful. And Lord, I thank you for that, for Marja, in Jesus' name. I breathe that into her life. I speak that into her, God, that she will not fear. She will not fear failure. She will not fear fear itself, God, because she's walking in your love, in Jesus' name. And she's a lover of God, and the love of God pours through her and lives through her and dwells in her, Jesus. And because of that, she will be a total success. And you're going to know your success, And you're going to know that you are doing what God wants. Yeah. And that is success. That is success. Doesn't mean we don't have issues. Doesn't mean we don't have things we're dealing with. But it means that you know that you're, even the things that you struggle with and battle with, like we all do, you know that you're successful and you're in the process of working your way through that, because you're not afraid to work your way through things, right? You don't get, God's going to show you not to get stuck on things. Getting stuck on things and not moving anywhere is what the opposite of success, right? As long as you're moving forward in something, even if it's a long ways off, even if it's a really big thing you're dealing with, you know, that you're moving forward in it within itself. It's not how far you've got to go. It's the fact that you're moving forward. That is success. And God's going to show you that is happening in your life, whether you feel like it or not, it's happening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 803-991. I'm going to talk to you something.
My name is Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right, good to have you. Oops, I had you muted. Sorry about that. Anyway, I was talking about, I took a drink of water when I was, when I took your name. Oh, wait a minute. I got turned off it. Muted the wrong thing. Okay, there we go. So, Angela, really awesome. And what I saw going on right away was, because I took a drink of my water when I was talking to you, began to talk to you. And that's so, you know, a lot of my everything, I feel like everything I do, one way or the other, when I'm ministering to people is prophetic. So I try to see the prophetic part of that. I was going like, what is that about? I just took a drink when I got her. And the Lord instantly said, just like Jesus, one of Jesus' big job was, he said, come up to John 7. He said, come unto me, all you who are thirsty, and I'll give you drink. So that was a big thing to him, giving drink to people. And that's what you're called to do. God wants you to do things. Whether it's, you know, working on your book stuff, your stories, whatever you're doing, your life, talking to people, to remember you have one thing on your mind, and that is to give somebody a drink. Some people are about to go dry and die from thirst, spiritually speaking. And some people, they just need a drink. They just need a drink. They need a drink of the right thing. They're drinking a lot of things from people. They're drinking a lot of things from the world. But they need one drink. Once you get one drink, when the woman at the well got one drink from Jesus, I mean, it's like, you know, she ran into it and evangelized the whole town. Brought them all out there and said, man, this guy told me everything. Why? Because she got a drink. Some people are drinking a lot of different things in the world. They're drinking, you know, all kinds of stuff. Not physically drinking only, but, you know, just drinking in, you know, stuff they shouldn't be drinking in. So what they need is somebody to come along, like you, Angela, to give them a drink of, it may just be a sip, you know, a sipper that you may get, they just may get a sip of what you got going on. And that sip of something is going through, they're going to like, man, what is that? Where'd you get that at? Man, that's awesome. It's like when the woman at the well took it. Jesus said, if you knew who'd asked me for a drink, you'd ask me for a drink. You know, it's good. So she said, yeah. He said, the water I have? Yeah, it's awesome. And she said, yeah, I want to drink some of that, Lord. Where do I get that water at? He says, you know, and then he starts ministering to her and gave her a drink through the ministry. So, you know, what I see you doing is that whatever you do, whether you're talking to somebody, being friends with somebody, trying to, you know, talk to somebody about a deal or a business thing, whatever it is, talking to the boss, talking to the people at work, whatever, that your goal in life is to believe God to show you how to give those people a drink. It may be one kind word, it may be one, it may be the way you say it, the flavor of it, something about it that comes from the Holy Spirit, and the people can go, man, every time I get a drink from Angela, every time she says something to me and I just like, you know, hear her, taste her, what she says, like something about it just makes me thirsty for God. I love that stuff, man. Makes me want more of Jesus. They may not even be born again. They're going, man, I gotta have Jesus. This is Jesus water. I got to have some of that. So I thank you, Lord, for that Jesus water for Angela, God, that she gives out in many different fashions, many different ways, and give them a drink, of the gifts of the Spirit, of the flow of the Spirit, of the love of God, of the encouragement, God. The Bible says prophecy is to encourage and build up. How many people need to be encouraged? You know how many people are down in the dungeons of hell in their minds? A lot of people. You know why? Because very few people get the right kind of encouragement. Let me tell them, you're a nice person, but when you speak something by the Spirit to them, go, wow, what was that? I mean, it's like five words. I'm like, And what is that? So thank you, Jesus, for that with my sister, God, that she will realize that her calling in life is to give people a drink of Jesus, one way or the other. They don't have to even say Jesus. You don't have to talk Jesus. You don't have to say everything Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just say whatever you feel, whatever you're thinking, whatever's going through your head, whatever's going through your heart. Just speak it to them and let it, and just think about it. Okay, this is going to be their drink for the day. This is going to be the thing that's going to get them addicted to Jesus, like the woman at the well. She got so excited. My God, I've never tasted any water like this before. He speaks. It's like, wow. And she runs in town, drags everybody out, and they just, like, couldn't wait to meet this Jesus. Because when she went out to tell them, she was giving them some of the word, some of the water. She was telling them of the experience she had with Jesus. And that within itself was water. And they tasted it, and they said, where can we get some of this? And they said, come on, I'll show you. Yeah, and it's amazing. So when you get a drink, you give drinks. And when people get a drink, they're ready for some Jesus. Yeah, they're ready for some Jesus. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for the Jesus part of God in her life, in Jesus' name. As she gives people a drink of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Amen. All right. 804-218. You want to talk to your friend from? Hello? Where are you from, please? Hello? All right, 804-218. You want to talk to your company? Hello? All right, give me a second here. I'll be right back. Right back. All right, thank you for answering tonight. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God. You know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Ange, goes many different ways. It can teach us how to cook, right? Jesus was a great cook. He teaches us how to, you know, make things. He's a maker. He's a creator. The anointing, the Spirit of God can teach us how to do anything, right? Anything that he wants us, that he wants done, he can teach us how to do it. And so I see the ministry of the Holy Spirit really... like Ruth had that thing, you know, where she had her thing. She found her thing. And I know there's probably many different manifestations of her anointing, her calling from the Holy Spirit, from God, things that she did. And so the manifold things that she did. And so what I'm seeing with you is like, God really, really opening you up to how, you know, literally all things are possible because he's a creator. And he knows how everything is created, the way it was created, for what it was created for, and his purpose, so that we can apply that thing to the real purpose of which it belongs. Like we're trying to, you know, like say, food things. Like we're eating carrots because we think carrots, you know, grow hair, when carrots really are for your eyes. So we start realizing, no, carrots are for our eyes. We have an eye problem. We, instead of going to the doctor and eat medicine, we eat the things that God provided for the eyes, whatever they are, not only carrots, but other things. So we start really, God, setting things in order, like how to pray and how to do things, how to move in the Spirit, how to hear from God, how to not limit God, all those things, you know, and start finding out what prayers are effective, what kind of prayer God wants us to pray, how to mix our faith with our prayers, whatever, you know, the mixtures of things, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit showing you how to... find the purpose for the thing, like scriptures. What is the very purpose? What's the real purpose for that particular scripture? Is it really for what people say it is, or is it something else? What's that plant really for? What's the purpose of it? If you just eat that one plant, what's it going to do? It could feed your brain something your brain doesn't have and make your brain working better. You know what I'm saying? To find out what the real purpose of things are, and then apply that to that thing so that we can find out all the things, including all the gifts of the Spirit, different things that apply for a certain thing that are made for certain things, so we can apply it to that instead of the things that it's not made for, and start making things work and happen. Make things come together for what they're for, their purpose. like you, like we all have a purpose. I'm made for a purpose. And to find out what that purpose is. When I started to find out what my purpose was and start getting in it, things just started happening for me. I didn't have to work as hard at doing things. I had less anxiety. I say less anxiety than I didn't have any at that time. But, you know, so my purpose, my God. So everything, finding the purpose for everything, what it was made for, its purpose, and using it for that. The ministry always good for you in that. Again, all right, 863-605, I'm going to talk to you now, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki from Florida.
Hey, y'all. All right. It's really good to hear from you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord. Good to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, for that old-time religion. I mean, you know, old-time religion is more like what today we call it old-time religion. When in some ways, some of that old-time religion is more like the Holy Ghost, you know, and the Father and the Son and the power and the sanctified, even though they didn't have it all perfect, you know. But you know, they had some things that we don't have today. And, you know, so anyway, so God's going to show how to, he's going to show you how to, you know, like some of their doctrines were like, you know, like some of that was just obviously not God. But, you know, some of it was, right? And very strong, very powerful. Be able to separate out the things that, how people became full of the power of God, how they walked in miracles, how they lived in miracles, how they did that. You know, and start connecting to that old-time religion, so to speak, without all the bells and whistles that go along with it, but just the purity of it all. And, like, the real reason that they walked the power of God is because they had, you know, they had a total dedication to God. I mean, they forsook the world and went for Jesus. It wasn't their doctrine so much that they had a perfect, right? Nobody has perfect doctrine. Very few people have. I don't know anybody has perfect doctrine, but they, what they had was, it was a relationship with God. They just totally, wholly, completely gave their life over to Jesus. And then, yeah, they might have been Pentecostal. They might have believed in certain things. Pentecostal people believe in, which I don't believe in. They might have been charismatic people. But it wasn't their doctrine so much as it was totally dedicated to something to Jesus. And getting down to the bare root of what really makes things with God work. Right? Yes, having your doctrine is important, having it right, especially foundational things. It's very, very important. But just like if you prophesy, but you don't have love, what good is that prophesying? Well, that's what I think God's showing us is that, Nikki and Charles, is that the fact that we have all these gifts and all these things going, we have all this understanding, and nothing wrong with understanding, nothing wrong with all the wisdom we get, but without love, what good is all of it? So it's like back then, and like back with me, you know, back with you, you know, when you just purely, rawly in love with Jesus, you know, yeah, you had some things that were messed up, but that pure, raw love for Jesus is what, you know, connected you to that old-time, quote, old-time religion where the power of God worked, you know, where things were happening. And, yeah, so thank you, Lord. I'm where that came from exactly, but thank you, Jesus, for Nikki, God, for opening her up to that, and her heritage, God, to all that stuff. In Jesus' name, and to show taking the throwing away the old, the you know, when you go, Jesus said, when you go draw the net in from the shores of Galilee and get all the fish, he said, you throw the bad fish away and keep the good fish. You got to show you how to keep the good fish and throw the bad fish back in the lake, you know. And you know, yeah, so not throw the baby out the bathwater and really open that up for you. So to walk in the power of God like we all want. Pure, undefiled religion. Right? Pure, undefiled religion. Yeah, nothing wrong with the word religion when it's done right. And so, anyway, that old-time religion. I never thought I'd be saying that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, the old-timers, some of them had some amazing, I mean, wow. Wow. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going there. I'm thinking of all different kinds of men of God and women of God. Catherine Coleman being my favorite. She just connected into, you know, honoring him and loving him and just loving him. But I think the basic thing is love, loving God. All right. God's bringing us back to that loving God. Ooh, well, there you go. Yeah, I'm not being lukewarm, but walking in love, returning to first love. There's a word right there, returning to first love. Whoa, Jesus. That's kind of went. Yeah, that's what God's speaking to all of us, man. Oh, my God. I will definitely take that. Because I would talk about that tonight during the show in my teaching part, if you're able to listen. It's about how, you know, I just kind of, I saw a sudden found myself talking about when I first got saved and the love and how I felt love. How could God love me? But when I realized he loved me, I was moving in the power of God and didn't even know what it was. You don't have to know it. We got to understand the power of God. No, you got to understand love, man. You don't even, if you understand it, but you can like tap into that love, and love just like makes you give your all. And giving your all is old-time religion, basically. Basically, they really just sell everything, give everything away, and just live for Jesus, man. You know? And then along came religion. And the wrong religion. Then along came the wrong religion. People started fading away from the love message. It all became about head knowledge. Yes, it did. Yeah, the heart. Going back to the heart, Nikki. That's what, my God, there it is. Man, I'm flowing like a Holy Ghost on that one. It's like the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost. Woo! Wow. Bring it back, God. I hear your heart going, bring it back, Jesus. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Crying out. Bring it back, God. Just weeping crap. Bring it back, God. I'll bring it. Bring me back. Bring us back. Bring us all back, Jesus. Woo! I don't know if you're doing it right now or not. I don't know what that is, but I feel that. That's your heart, man. Bring us back. Oh, God. How have we strayed? You know, we still love him. We still serve him. We're still living right. What have we strayed from? It's about the love, man. The love. Wow. Old time religion. Just love Jesus. Captain Coleman, I know she loved Jesus. I'm sure Amy Simpson McPherson, all those, and the great men of God, love Jesus, man. Yeah, that's it. Cool. All right, Charles. Thank you so much for Charles. How can we miss Charles if that power word, right? How can we beat that one? All right, thank you, Jesus, for Charles. Thank you, Lord, for that same thing, God. It's like, what are we doing all this for? What's going on? You know, what's the purpose of all this? It's love, giving love, 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 love. All we need is love. You know, the Beatles, they got that song. All you need is love. Bum, 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 bum. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Yeah, okay, Lord, for Charles, I thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah, your love, 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 your love. When we realize God loves us, then our condemnations roll away. When we realize God loves us, Charles, then all of our fears melt. This love melts every fear. It melts every fear. Every fear just melts. It bows. Like when I first got saved, I talked about that. Witnessing for Jesus, they thought I was bold. I didn't know what that was. All I knew is I was in love with Jesus. I didn't know anything about the word bold. I didn't know what that meant. I just loved him. God, I loved him because he first loved me. I mean, when he showed me he loved me, and that was it, dude. That was all I needed. I said, who can love me? Nobody but Jesus. Like, not like that. Not like that. Not like that. Oh, my God, not like that. Nobody can love me like that. They can try, and I hope they do. Nobody can love me like that. Yeah, nobody can love me like that. Jesus, you're the only one who can love me like that. So just love me like that again. Oh, God, let me let you love me. Let me let you love me. Let me let you love me. Help me. Let you love me. Help me let you love me. Man, because you know what? I walk in that love, Charles, because he first loved me. And if I hadn't known that, I would have never done any. I mean, I would have even. You kidding me? Who wants to go around telling people about God? But man, when it was about love, it's like, when I said this is about love, I said everybody's going to hear about this from this little boy right here. I ain't going to, you know, and I didn't even think about my inability to talk. I didn't have to. It all went away. It all melted. I knew exactly what to say because I said what I felt. And I felt that love, man. I felt that love. And I didn't care who I talked to, who it was, how big they were, how rich they were, how poor they were. It didn't matter to me. You know, it was about love. Love, 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 love. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Back to that love, God. All right, 402-650. I'm going to talk to you again, please. John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa, God, tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this love thing, man. It's strong tonight, y'all. I'm just feeling the love of God, like, whoa. God, that you bring deliverance, God, by your love, that love delivers us. When love came into me, and I realized I was love, that within itself delivered me from my fears, delivered me from anything. You started delivering me from my ability to not be able to love myself because I couldn't love myself. I could have listened to my definition, love myself. Well, I could love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, man, I couldn't love myself, so I couldn't really love people. I didn't really like people that well. So I got saved. And then I just thought, my God, if God loved me, and then I started loving myself. And when I started loving myself, then I loved everybody. Didn't care who it was. It didn't matter. I saw everything and everybody in a different light. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that. That your love delivers John and Melissa, God. You're showing them your deliverance. You're showing them how to deliver them, bring them into fellowship and relationship and what life is really about and what it's really not about, and to focus on the things that it is really about and be able to focus that, God, that they will be able to focus on that, that they will remember their covenant with each other. They will remember their covenant with God. They will remember, God, do this, when we take communion, do this in remembrance. They will remember, start remembering things, God, and connect to that remembrance thing. That's what remembrance is for. See, once you, like Donald said from Florida, he said, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Whatever they've seen, God, think of that they can't unsee it, God, and bring it back to them. So they will remember it, God. Remember your love. Remember the love for each other. Remember your the covenant that they made with you, whatever it was, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let it be done. All right, 910-379. You want to talk to me from place?
Hey, Randy. This is Faye out of North Carolina.
Hey, Faye. All right, girl. Good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Faye. Thank you, Jesus, for the ministry of angels. God, for the ministry of angels of love. I did a love thing tonight. I don't know what's going on. I can't get away from it. The ministry of angels, you know, connecting people together that need love, that want love, that desire love, and have everything else but that love. Because they don't know how to get it. They don't know how to receive it, Faye. They need somebody to just, you know, connect them up, you know, just through prayer, just through talking to them, just through saying, you know, because sometimes words are such connectors, and you're really good with words. Yeah, you're a word person. You're a word person, and your words are powerful. And when your words, when you speak about, talk about, or just be yourself, and the love of Jesus flowing through you, those words, your communication, your talk, just connects people to the love of God. Yeah, because love is what they're all. Love is what everybody's looking for. Everybody's looking for love, man. Everybody is. I was when I found it. I was ready to die for it and live for it. I mean, I didn't care. Man, this is the most valuable thing I've ever found in my life. I'm ready to just, you know, whatever. And I'm going to give it to everybody. I'm going to give it to everybody. And so with me, you know, when I started telling people about Jesus, I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew what he'd done for me. And I knew what I felt from him. And I would just tell them that. And those words, Faye, would just get inside them, and sometimes people would sit right in front of me in front of a packed out building or wherever. I pulled up to drive-in windows to order something, you know, the old drive-in window thing, and tell people about Jesus doing that, because then I had them, you know. And they would just, sometimes people would just start weeping. I said, why are they weeping? I didn't even understand it. Why are they weeping? You know, and I just said, my God, one person or the other just weeping, crying. And it's like it was just, the words were disarming them. And they couldn't hold back whatever it was that was messing with them. And what they were looking for was Jesus. And they thought it was a boyfriend or girlfriend or money or, you know, being good at something, really good at something, being really successful. And really what they were looking for was Jesus. And my job was to give them the word. His words are powerful. We're made for words. And when you speak a word, you speak words that connects them to that love. And then when they drink from that, when they drink, Jesus said, come unto me, all you are thirsty, and I'll give you drink. What do you give them a drink of? Pure, raw love. Pure, raw love. It was the love of the Father. Why say? Because he knew the Father loved him. And that's one thing that God wants to really open up to you more, because your faith level is getting ready to grow much bigger, much larger, because what's going to cause you to grow larger is that you're the love of realizing how much more God loves you. I mean, I know you already know he loves you, but I'm talking about at a deeper level. And the deeper the level of love goes that God has for us, not for the world, but for us individually. When we see that, our faith level just goes off the rocker, man. It just goes boom, boom, boom. He loved me. Man, my faith level, you know, just the faith that I'm hearing. And what was I hearing? I was hearing one message. And it was, I love you, Randy Chandler. I know you don't understand it, but I love you. And I felt it. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I felt it. I knew it. Oh, Jesus, thank you. How could you love me? I don't know, but thank you for doing it anyway. Woo! Thank Jesus. Be my friend. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. You know, just seeing my dad, you know what, Faye, my dad I don't know why, maybe he didn't feel like he had the authority to talk to me about Jesus. He never talked to me about Jesus. You know, he didn't. He sang to me about Jesus. He sang to me. Sometimes when I think about those songs, just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus, here's my plea. Man, when I think about those songs, even to this day, I never thought about my daddy being part of the reason I got saved. Really, I'm going to tell you the truth until right now. I mean, I knew he sang the gospel from the beginning of the kid, but I never realized till right now, literally, that what he was doing in me, he was singing Jesus. He was singing Jesus to me. When he sang Jesus to me, I didn't know it at the time. I thought it was beautiful. I used to watch my dad pray in church. I would look over at him, you know, and we'd just stand up. I'm way over there in the corner with the guys, and then we're like getting ready to go out and smoke some cigarettes and do whatever. I look over at my dad. You know, we all had to go to church, you know, had to be there. But at the back, I'd look at my dad sometimes. It was hard to look at him because when he would bow his head and pray, something about me just went. I wanted to weep. I wanted to, like, it was almost like holy or something, you know. And my dad wasn't really a holy man. He was a good man, a pure man, far as I'm in. But, you know, there wasn't anything extraordinarily holy about him. He was just, but, man, when he bowed his head, man, he doesn't even know this, but it just touched me. And that's when I was still a rebellious heathen from hell. And he would sing, Faye would sing those songs to me, and a bunch of them, man. And I'm telling you, like, now I just realize that that was some of the seeds that came from my daddy. My granny had a lot to do with the prayer, but my daddy planted the seeds. My God, I just got that. Oh, he would sing songs about Jesus. My God, girl. Plant those seeds, Faye. 288, you want to talk to your company?
Randy, this is Daniel from Texas and Carmen from Texas.
Hey, you guys. All right, good day tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for the holiness of God. God, that you showed Daniel a whole new realm of the holiness of God.
what it means. It's not just about God is holy, but it says, the Bible says, be holy as I am holy. And to really let him identify with holy in a way that maybe he hasn't quite gathered the depth of that. Like, I know I haven't gathered the depth of what holy means, to be holy as I am holy, and to be separate for God, to live your life going like, God, you know, I know I'm running around, I'm busy, I've got all kinds of things going on, dear God, struggling, battling, but I want to live for you. I want to live my life. I want to be used by you, God. And Lord, I thank you for that desire that Daniel has, God, to water that, to grow that, to nurture that in him, Jesus. It's the hunger you put in us that causes us to break through. It's your hunger that we have of you that causes us to find you. If you don't have hunger for God, you're not going to find it. But when your hunger's there, when that hunger, God, that Daniel has for you, God, to know you, to be part of your family, to be blessed by you, to have your peace, to be successful, to be used in the power of God. And I thank you, Lord, that as you teach him how to rightly divide the word of truth in the Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth, God, that he will you'll be able to do that in his life, God, that he'll be able to see how to know, you know, what holy means. Holy means that we can be holy as he is holy. And we'll never be God, of course, but we'll be holy as he's holy, so know what. And to be holy means it connects you to God. It sanctifies, it sets you apart so that God can use you. It's not about being better than everybody else. Being holy means you're separate, use you to reach those people who aren't set apart. Jesus was a friend to sinners, Daniel. He wasn't a friend to the world. The world was a system. He was a friend to sinners. He was a friend to people who needed help, who needed love, who needed to be understood, who needed to be, you know, just know that they're loved and to know God, to know their creator. So I thank you, Lord, for Daniel, God, the heart you've given him to know you, not just to seek you, but to find you and to be set apart, be holy. Holy means you're set apart and in your heart and you're going like, God, I want to be used by you, so just do it. So set me apart. In other words, use me to reach those, to be a friend to sinners, to minister to them, to bring them to Jesus, at least plant the seed like my daddy. I just realized tonight, for the first time talking to Faye, but that my daddy, you know, I mean, I knew the same. Dan, you have to understand, I get things, you know, just like anybody else is, like out of the blue. And I just realized that my daddy planted those seeds of the gospel in me and love for Jesus. And I didn't have a clue what he was doing. Him and I used to sit together. He'd sit at the piano, and I would sit there and listen to him. I just loved listening to him. I don't even know why I did. I didn't like country music that much. I mean, my daddy sang it. That was his life. He was a cowboy. I was not a cowboy. I rode bulls and rodeo and all that kind of thing, but I wasn't a cowboy. And, yeah, I got a emergency signal here going on. Anyway, so I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I think it's more about sometimes when God uses us, we think we have to get him saved, get him filled with the Holy Ghost, and get him healed and all that. Well, that's part of it. But like my dad, man, I can't believe that I didn't ever pick this up before. My dad was planting the seeds through music. Of all things, he never talked to me about Jesus, never, that I remember ever. But he sang to me about him a lot. Wow. My God, I could have not seen that. Get my eyes open tonight. Dad, thank you. I know you're dead. You're in heaven, but thank you for that, Dad. See, and just like I'm saying it to my dad tonight, Daniel, he's going to say that about you. Man, he saw me get saved later, but he wasn't there when I got saved. I was saved in the motel room working on a job. I went out of town the whole time. We went out of town one time, and I just got set it up. I got saved, went out of town. For the only time that job we ever went out of town, ever. And so, you know, my daddy planted those seeds.
So planting seed doesn't mean you're gonna always see the results right away, or you're gonna be there when they get saved. But doing your thing, whatever way you do it, being kind to somebody, may not be about singing, maybe about being kind to someone, whatever it is. And yeah, so there you go. Thank you, Jesus, for that, and bless Daniel for that, God and Jesus, for Carmen tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for Carmen. God, we thank you, Lord, for that, for the power of forgiveness, speak forgiveness over people to help them forgive themselves, to help to show them things so that they can forgive themselves. So, know when you realize that God's forgiving you, and you really get that, it's like me when I realized God loved me, when I felt it, when I knew it, then I could love myself. When people can realize that God has forgiven them, then karma, then they can forgive themselves. It's like me. When I found out God loved me, then I could love myself. I didn't love myself at all. And even as a Christian, I've had struggles off and on of loving myself, right? We have to, why? If you think about what's the problem with it. Because when I loved myself for the first time, it's because I knew he loved me. That was it. It's that simple. I hadn't done anything right. I hadn't done anything. I hadn't seen anybody get saved. I hadn't really read the Word of God. I didn't really know anything about anything. I hadn't done anything, quote, right, you know, to be righteous and feel love. I just felt love, man. That was it. So thank you, Lord, for forgiveness that karma will bring people to a place where and they realize God loves them, and he loves them, and he forgives them at the same time. And when they get a hold of that, then they can forgive themselves. It's like, I could love myself once I knew God loved me, then I could love myself. When I started loving myself, I could look in the mirror without going, there, God, it's that ugly, no good piece of trash in the mirror, you know, with him then, especially back then. Man, look at that. That guy's radiating. Look at his eyes are like shiny. Wow, I've never seen that before. And because I love myself. Why is God? And God loves me. Well, thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness realm, that people can forgive themselves. Most of the root of people's problems is because they don't forgive themselves, including me, including most everybody I know, one way or the other. It's because they don't forgive themselves. They may think they do, but when it comes right down to the pressure and the pressure on us, they think, oh, well, you know, this didn't happen because of what I did or didn't do. Yeah, they don't forgive themselves. Yeah. Amen. So anoint your God for that, so you can tap into the very thing that Jesus came to do, and that is forgive. All right, 769-220, this is Enrique and Chris. She said if she was asleep, to pray anyway. All right, I'm going to pray anyway. Looks like, all right. Let me see what time it is. Okay. Oh, and I just got a text from Jeannie. Hang on a second here. I just got a text from Jeannie about Hollis, her husband. She talked about this last night. He had that little operation on his bladder, and she says, headed to the ER with Hollis. Please pray, can't pee, and lots of pain. Man. Woo! Bless his little bladder, my God. Oh, man, that bladder's important. He's used this. All right. Oh, yeah, I was going to go to... Drika here and say 11:22. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Drika and Chris tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for that love, the whole thing about the love, the thing, everything about love tonight. I just, you know, it's amazing when the Holy Spirit gets on something. It's like one way or the other, it's about the same thing. Thank you, Jesus and God, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your love, God. That the whole thing is not about how much we love God, but it's about how much we know he loves us. It's about knowing that he loves us.
I tried to love God. I tried to know God before I actually knew him, because I thought, you know, it's a matter of trying hard to just think about him and meditate on him and then hear all the things about him, but I couldn't do it until he saved me. And salvation to me was a love thing, Chris Hendrick. It was a love thing. It was like I just so much didn't love myself, didn't love anybody, you know, just didn't like people anymore. It wasn't always like that, but life had just, you know, done a number on me. I did a number to myself. And when he showed me he loved me, man, like I could love people, man. It's like, wow. Before I felt sorry for the person that married me. Now it's like I'm going like, I might be getting something good after all. Because I was loving for the first time in my life. But man, if I could love somebody that would just love, wow, it'll just be a blessing, you know. And so thank you, Lord, for Chris and Enrique, God, that you open up the love for them, to them, God, and show them that the root of being blessed, the root of knowing that God wants to bless you, the root of loving ourselves and loving each other, being able to love others, is one thing, knowing that we're loved. Yeah, knowing that we're loved. It wasn't just that I was forgiven. He said he loved me, and because he loved me, he forgave me. Forgiveness was almost like second. Love was first. And because he loved me, he had forgiven me. You know, I hadn't seen that before. I don't know. But all of a sudden, boom, man. God called me at 20 years old, and I thought I was old back then. My God, I think I was old. Dear Jesus, the Lord for Chris and Ricky, God, I thank you, Lord, for the love thing. For the answer is not trying to love each other more or love God more, but it's to let him love us more. Getting that revelation, getting the understanding that him loving us and knowing that, that's what he wants us to strive for or live for or go for or, you know, dive into that. God, show me that you love me. Remind me that you love me. Remind me. Show me again. Show me again. Show me again. And so when we learn, when we get that in our heart, then we're going to find ourselves, you know, knowing he's going to make us successful because we love people. We love ourselves. When you love yourself, you're gonna know that God's going to make you successful, because loving yourself means that is success. People who love themselves, you know, in God's love, is success. The main thing to success is that. And so when you love yourself, when you're talking to somebody, you're selling something or trying to share your business with them, or you're trying to tell them about something, and they're going like, I don't know why I like you, but I just did. I don't know why I want to do business with you, but I just did. Why? It's, you may be the worst salesman in town, so to speak. But they feel the love. They see you love yourself. They're going like, man, I want some of that. I'm gonna buy your stuff. I'm going to be partaking of your stuff. And so the love really becomes our success, because people see us, like they call me Sunshine when I first got saved, you know, for months and months. Sunshine, because, you know, it's because God first loved me, and when I realized he really did love me and he proved it to me, my God, it's like I could love myself. And when I love myself, people love me. I mean, I don't even know why people love me. Why do these people love me? I found out these people hung around, young people in college. Like, why do they love me? Why do they love me? I don't understand why they love me. Because, you know, when you don't love yourself, you know, especially when you're lost, you don't really expect other people to love you. That's what happens. You don't love yourself, you don't really expect to be loved by it. Why would anybody want to love me when I don't love myself? Right? So this whole thing about success is about knowing that God loves us. He first loved us. The scripture says we love because he first loved us. Lord, I thank you for that success. Power of success is in knowing, getting the revelation and partaking and drinking of and getting that knowing that he loves us. He loves me. How he loves you and me. Drinking, Chris. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What else could he give? Oh, how he loves
me. Oh, how he loved you. Oh, how he loved you and me.
Wow, my God, I feel the anointing on this. Dear Jesus, she said, Kobawa. Woo, so see, I'm just getting this. I mean, yeah, I think I already kind of knew it intellectually, but it's like somehow tonight I'm really seeing that my success in whatever I'm doing, ministering, giving the word to people. You said, what is prophecy good if you don't love, right? So when you're prophesying, you may be powerful word, but that love's not there. People just, they love the word, but they don't really like you that much. Right? But when you do prophecy out of love, when you do it in love, if you love yourself, because you know God loves you, then, you know, it says if you prophesy and don't love, what good is it? Well, if you prophesy and you do love, how great is it? That's what makes it greater. Same thing with business, same thing with relationships. All that. Wow. I don't know if I'm getting this across or not. I hope I am. But thank you, Jesus, for the love realm, God. My Lord and my God, dear Jesus, pour out your glory on Chris and Hendrika in the name of Jesus. God, you're setting things in order. In order me with God. It's not some strict order thing, Dad. It's about love. The order of who do we love first? What do we love? That's the order. Like, you know, that's the new order. Like, the new order is God. They have to do one world order again. God's going to have his own new order, and that is what, in order of who we love, right? That's what the main thing is. Oh, God's calling today, order. And he comes, the judge walks in and says, okay, order in the court. We're going to put things in order tonight. So, today. So who, you know, who do you love first? Right. My children or my wife, my husband, my family. Oh, where's God at? If you love God first, it's because you know he loves you first. And when you love, when you have that in order, letting him love you, then you're going to love each other, and it's going to be successful. Because if you don't love yourself, you're going to project that I'm not worthy of your friendship, I'm not worthy of it, and it's what it projected. People fight it. Man, I want to like you. I really want to like you, but there's something just in me just wanting to say, I don't like you because, and all it is not, you're not likable. Or we're not, or I'm not likable. We're not likable. That it's about loving ourselves. They interpret it as that, I mean, hard to like you. What, people that love themselves, easy to like. They just want to be around you. They don't really agree with you on something. It's just want to be around you. Well, I think of a Christian and drinking God. Flowing in that, living in that, dwelling in that, God, understanding that. Reveal your love to them, God. Reveal your love to me, Jesus. I want more of this, too. I want all this. I want to love myself because I know you love me. God, show your love to us. Show your love to Enrique and Chris. Show it to me. I want it to, Jesus. I want them to love me. I get fresh in them. Show them how you love them, God. All the different ways you show your love. Let them see it. Let them know it. Let them know that it's you loving them. You loving them, Jesus, and that's how they will love they will love themselves and love each other greater and greater and greater. Oh, how he loves you and me. All right. Awesome. 912-339, you want to talk to us, please?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Angela Joy.
Hey, Angela Joy.
Oh, how he loves you and me, Angela Joy. It's such a joy. Mm-hmm. Oh, how he loves you, Angela Joy. And oh, how he loves me, Randy Chandler. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he do?
Whoever wrote that song, Angela, I don't even know who wrote that song, but my God.
What more could he do? Oh, how he loved you.
And she, man, I feel that. My God, you feel that? I don't know if you feel that. Oh, my chico, pawa, panejo, banana. Banana. You know, God's calling you to be a vessel of love
you want something you may focus. You know why? Because when you help people know that God loves them, see, our whole ministry, Angela Joy, is to for people to know that God loves them. And see, I'm putting this all together tonight, literally. But I prophesy to each person, I'm getting more on it all the time. If our ministry is to let them see, let them hear that God loves them first, and they really see that really God truly does love them, you know what? That's gonna break down walls in the church, break down walls in family, because when you most walls are there because we don't love ourselves, not because we don't love each other. It's more because we don't love ourselves. Because we don't know that God loves us. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. Wow, thank you, Jesus. God, using Angel of Joy as a vessel to show people, to reveal the love that you have for them. And when they see that, when they get that, they're going to melt before their family. They will melt before their God. They will melt in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because they realize, man, if God loves me, I can love myself. That's a big key to all this whole thing with ministry and what is our ministry. If we lose that purpose, Angela, which I know I have many times over the years, but my purpose is not to just get people to love God, right? I mean, that's part of it. But the main thing is that when they know that he loves them, then they're going to worship him. They're going to love themselves. They're going to be more friendly. Church folk will be more friendly. Most church folk are unfriendly. You know what? They get so caught up in religion, they forget what it's about, including myself, that it's about, you know, how God first loved me. And when I see that and focus on that and mainly on that, then everything else just works out. Your differences in your family, you ask for forgiveness easier. You're not afraid to be rejected because when you love yourself, it's easier to be rejected because you know what? If you love yourself and somebody rejects you, you're going to like, well, what's wrong with them? Instead of what's wrong with you, right? You're going to like, I love myself. And this is something, Angela, honestly, God, this is something that's happening with me lately. I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm driving down the road. Last week, maybe, I think it was last week. And I literally remember I was crossing the railroad tracks, left the fitness and then coming, you know, running around. And I just said out loud, I said, God, I just love the new me. I just love the new me. And I didn't even put all that together with this message tonight, honest to God. I'm seeing how loving the new me is about, you know, God loving me. And the more I realize he loves me, the more I love myself. And when I love myself, I treat people differently. You know, I already treat them okay, but you treat them really better, really greater, higher quality, right? Most people treat people ugly and rude because that's how they feel about themselves. They feel ugly and rude. And how can anybody love me? And so what do they do? They project that on other people. So their hatred, their variance, their troubles, their you know, bringing strife and rebellion and whatever, it's basically the root of it is love, and that they don't know that God loves them, and they can't love themselves, so therefore, how can they love anybody else? Really, I mean, I'm seeing this tonight, my God. I said, God, I'm sure loving the new me. That's what I've been saying to God. And you have to know, I have to know it's because God loves me. Because I've never really been like that before, that big. I had to confess to myself, I love myself, you know, I love myself, I love myself. And now it's kind of like, I've literally seen the fruit of the new me, even though it's been a progress of, you know, years, the manifestation of it has been more and more cool. Kind of starting to see that it's not coming and going, but it's staying with me. And I'm telling God out loud, that, man, I love the new me, Jesus. I'm starting to love. Yeah, I'm loving the new me. Finding people, I mean, the favors that I'll talk about this later, but more about it, but the favor I'm finding with people, and it's all because of the words and the way the words come out of my mouth for people. You know why? And so they're going like, and they just want to hang around me. You know, and it's like, they can't figure out what it is that they just want to smile, look at you and smile and just look at you, you know, and it's like, what is that? It's not the anointing so much as it is, it's love. It's when I'm loving myself, and when you love yourself, it shows. And it's just the favor God's given me with people. I don't even know. It's hard to explain. It's just been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, I've been taking communion for a while. That may have been part of it, where I'm, you know, walking in this thing of, it's not about what I do, but if it's about what I do, I'm going to hate myself even more, right? Because I don't always line up. I don't ever feel like I do anything totally right, you know, as far as I go. But now that I'm starting to love myself, you know, and forgive myself, or, you know, even though I'm not doing bad things, I just, the general thing of loving myself, I mean, that's the general principle of it all. And I'm doing that like I've never done before, Angela. It's amazing. And I'm not working it up. I'm not trying to do it. It's just happening. And I'm listening to myself and how I react and respond and have, you know, just communicate with them. I'm like, who is this guy? I do. Literally, I mean, honest to God, it's like, who is this new person in me that's coming out in a long time? I've been saved since I was 20 years old. I'm like 40-something years ago. And I'm just now loving myself and loving who I am. And actually not just having to meet myself, but just really going like, man, I really like you now. I really like you. I heard Jesse DePlantis talk about that years ago. Hey, I just like, not just like me. You know, I'm going like, I wasn't sure whether I liked that or not. I'm going like, that's kind of like, I don't know, arrogant or something. And I realized that, you know, it's really not. It's like amazing. So I don't know why I'm talking about that, you, Angela. It's just like, wow. But dear Jesus, show her that her calling, God, is to really get people to know that they're loved. And when they know they're loved, they're going to know they're forgiven. And they're going to know that if God loves them, then a lot of things just melt. We don't have to cast out as many devils and deal with everything and the dog. Is when they realize God loves them, doesn't mean that they don't still get deliverance and that kind of thing to do, but it's like it opens them up to, you know, loving themselves. And man, we love. You know, you remember, you've been young, like I have been young, and we've watched kids. When I found my first girlfriend, and I love that girl, you know, I don't even know if I ever kissed her or not. I can't remember. I think I did maybe once. But anyway, back in the day, and like when I was in love with her, people would be going like, what's going on with you? You're so happy. And you act like you like people more. They didn't use those exact words, but it's like, what's going on with you? Like, you know, so what? I was in love. Man, she loved me. I thought she did at least. And I love her. But the fact that I love her, man, it's like, wow. My days went by so nice and Gloria. My mama's going like, man, boy, I like you a lot better like this. What's going on? I'm going like, Mom, I got this girl thing. Oh, it's a girl thing. It's, you know, it's because I loved her more. I loved everybody more. I put up with people more. Why? Because I love, man. I found love. And love. And that was just puppy love, but it was still love, that kind of love. And it changed the way I treated people, changed the way I felt about myself. I felt like I was more lovable, therefore people can love me. If we don't feel like we're lovable, we're just a pain in the neck. I get a lot of confirmations of that. Like, it is a pain in the neck, Chandler. That, you know, when they first turned around, it's like, start liking you. Like, wow, what do you have? What is this? Who are you? And instead of running people off, it draws them in. And, so anyway, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for Angela, for love for you, God. Mainly, Lord, I thank you, God, for your calling for her to open up that anointing, to open up the hearts of people. They will know that God loves them just the way they are. And they're messed, they're sin, they're messed up, they got vomit all over them, they're messed up, smell like whatever, spiritually speaking. And it's like God just sitting there saying, man, I love that baby. And once they realize that God loves that baby, that's got smelling like a whatever, a nasty old thing, and they realize God loves them, it'll change them forever. Change them forever. Not about loving God, it's about knowing God loves you. Know that, then you're going to be able to love. Thank you, Lord, for that ministry, whatever you call it, ministry, I don't know if it is, reconciliation, reconciling the fact that God loves man and that he really does love it. Change their life. It's an anointing on you. Amen. That's what I'm sorry. Let me do that. All right, there we go. Okay. All right, 214-434, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for Kimberly and Derek?
Yeah. Hey, you're the one that turned me on to Zoom, right, Kimberly?
Yes.
And I knew it was you, but I was running. I told some people about that. Kimberly and Derek. All right. And, I actually got on there now, and I called them that night, the night that the show was messed up. And I, it's like 9 o'clock, right? The show starts at 9, then I think I finally got on the phone and looked up the number and called Zoom right then. I said, I want somebody now, please. And this Australian lady got on the phone, started talking to me. And we had a good time and had fun. She was, so she said, just try the free one. And the big thing was with the camera switcher that we have, the four. I have a camera that has 12 cameras. And I have one that has 10, and then four. And the one I have now, the little one I've got for smaller places, four cameras. I said, the thing is, will that work? And she said, well, I don't know. I think it will. So get the free account. And I got it. And I hooked up the switcher to my computer. Boom, right away. Just worked right away. Very excited about that. That was my main thing, right, was that. And, we're trying to get the studio thing going again, even though we don't have studio yet. We're going to make one, a little small one. And, thanks for that. That was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you for your love, God, that, Lord Jesus, we try to get people to love us. I know I do. You want people to love your message. You want people to love you. Your message is good. You know what you have. You have some great things to offer, things you believe in, or you're strong about them. Kimberly, we want people to love our message. We want people to love, and so really the root of all that is, goal in life, is to love and be loved, right? Love and be loved. So we realize that the root of it is to know that, he loves us. And so me, what's happening, instead of me trying to get people to love the message and love the prophetic and love this and love that, I just, the more I'm loving myself, the more people are loving what I do, and I haven't really changed anything except I'm loving the new me. Just loving the new me. That's basically it. And when you do that, when you prophesy out of love instead of prophesy and don't have love, but you prophesy and have love, man, it says you're like a clean symbol, the sound of just noise, but with love, it's a orchestra, man. It just, changes everything. So I thank the Lord for Kimberly and Derek, God, that they will see that. Kimberly will see that, Father, more and more. In order to love Derek, and it's about loving herself. It's not about, loving God first. It's about God loving you first. Amen. And getting that in your spirit, in your heart more, and just reminding, you already know that, of course, but reminding yourself of it to dive into it deeper and deeper and deeper. And the more deeply I love myself, Kimberly, because of what's been going on with me lately, the more I find myself being, you know, instead of, you know, holding things against people, you know, like, even though it's just for 5 minutes, like, I get over things faster. You know, it doesn't offend, people don't say, they say offensive things. I don't get it offended. In fact, I grow from it and I learn from it. Why? Because if am I already mad at myself? I'm already thinking that I'm not all that, doing all that great. And then somebody says, oh, you're not doing all that great. You don't look that great. What's wrong with you? Who are you anyway? I don't like you. And because that's what we already feel about ourselves. So they're just projecting to us what we feel about ourselves. Because that's what's going off on them. And some people who just speak with their mouth before they think will say stuff like that. And the truth is, I'm projecting that to them. Oh, Jesus loves you. You know, hell, right. Yeah, like a nugget. I'm going like, So now that I'm loving myself, the new me, a work, but, I'm finding that, you know, people smile more. What's going on with this, man? It's amazing. It's all about loving herself. How do I love myself? Because I know God loves me. And he's loving me, knowing that he loves me, has produced this new character inside of me in developing this last few years, that I'm finding myself with a personality. My personality is completely changing. Yeah, you know, we used to take those personality tests back in the day, the charismatic movement and different things, just what gifts you had, right? Well, I noticed that if I took those gifts tests to see your personality, my personality seemed to be changing. And now my personality really changed, I think, a lot. And I'm loving it. I'm going, my God, this is amazing. So, yeah, I'm finding myself not having to push things at all. I don't think I really push things that much anyway, but you try not to push, right? You tried not to push. Now it's like I'm not even trying not to push. I just don't push. You know, at least that's what I think right now. I'm not pushing. I'm just like loving. I mean, so thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek, God, that they will see that, walk in the beauty of that and know that they will love themselves. And sometimes your job, Kimberly, is to help Derek love himself. Because I'm telling you, girl, the key to it is when somebody loves themselves, they're going to be loving you. If they don't love themselves, if they're feeling bad about themselves, they're going to be talking bad about you or thinking bad about you. Even if they may never say it. Right? When we love ourselves, it's not the key, it's not the answer to everything, everybody's problems, but generally, overall speaking, they're going to respond completely different to us. Yeah, it's not as hard for them to love us because it's not that we're loving ourselves. We're loving ourselves. So thank you, Lord, for that. They will walk in that Jesus that you will use, Kimberly, to help Derek love himself, God. I know, I'm sure God loves himself a little bit at least, you know. I don't know, I'm sure I love myself. Since I got saved, I have, but it's gone up and down over the years. Right? And now my personality is changing, which means my person is changing. And because it is, I'm seeing that this is just some Holy Ghost thing I'm feeling off and on. It's not a Holy Ghost thing I'm getting off and on. It's something that is now me. Instead of a good feeling, bad feeling, up and down, all over the place. And even though I don't talk ugly to people, even when I feel ugly, I talk friendly to them and nice to them, but it's hard. Yeah. I'm restraining myself from saying, yeah, you know, I really don't like you either. Instead, now that I'm loving myself more, it's like it's easy for me to love them when not very lovely. Why? It's because I love myself. I'm starting to love myself more than ever. My God, about time, dear Jesus. The Lord showed her how to help Derek love himself and help Derek to find ways to help Kimberly love herself. And when they do that, man, they're going to find love fest going up all over the place. And easier to get through things, work through things, forgive each other, easier, you know, when you live with it. Somebody, or you're with them all the time, or you're committed to them, you know, a lot of your fluff stuff just kind of goes away, and they end up with the real you. Well, when the real you loves you, then it's easier. It doesn't make it perfect, but it makes it easier for them to love you. People that are unlovely are because they don't love themselves. I'm starting to see that really, really big time. So how do we do it? We help them love themselves. We find ways. God, give Kimberly and I ways to help people love themselves. And if that would be our goal in life, that would be enough. And through Jesus, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Amen. Do that, God. Help them with it. Let them see it. Let them walk in it. Let them live in it, Jesus. Let them know it. Let them love. Love, love, because they love themselves, because they know God loves them. And as he develops their character, and their characters and their nature changes more and more to higher levels of deeper levels of love and loving themselves, God, that all things are going to work together for good. Oh, wow. Look at that. Romans 8 says, all things work together for good to those who love. Look at that. Who love God and are called according to his purposes. And the Bible says, for some, that we love because he first loved us. So the reason they love God is because they know. Anytime we see somewhere with this that they love God, it's because first John says, because we know we are loved by him. He first loved us. So all things work together for good to those who love God. You know they're loved by God. They're fully loved. All things work together for good. You can't see that, because what's been happening with me is that because I'm loving myself more, a lot more, then things just seem to work out better. People that I used to kind of didn't understand why we didn't connect, you know. It's just mainly wasn't their fault. It was more like me. And so now that I'm loving myself, you know, in a beautiful way, it's like Jesus was a friend of sinners. And he would be a friend of sinners because he loved himself. Why? Because he knew the Father loved him. The first thing the Father did when he showed up at the baptism with John, Kimberly and Derek, was that what happened? He said, this is my beloved son, and I'm well pleased. Can you imagine what that felt like, Kimberly, for Jesus to be told that by his daddy out of the cloud? He was so proud of him. He said, this is my beloved son, and I'm well pleased with him. What that did for him, how that made cause him to love himself. He said, my daddy loves me. I must be lovely. And because he was lovely, you know, the devil hated him even more, and the more he loved people. That's why I can love people. Because he loved himself. What? Because he was a lover of people. Because he loved himself. Because he knew his Father loved him. Showed up at his baptismal service and said, I sure do love you, son, a lot. Well pleased with you. And my daddy said that to me, I'd fall over dead. Like, wow. What? My daddy didn't speak. You know, he didn't speak loosely. I like that about him, but sometimes I wish he would have been a little more. He tried to challenge me by telling me I was no good. And I thought he was just telling me I was no good because I was no good. So he didn't know that, but I took it like, you don't think I'm any good? Instead of the challenge he was trying to do, provoke me to do good. You're going to be worthless. You're going to be worthless. No good. He wasn't saying it because he thought it would be worthless. No good. He was trying to do it to challenge me, but at the time I did not know it. I thought like, God, I'm worthless. No good. Okay. I kind of thought that, but now he confirmed it. So there you go. But not with Jesus. Like, daddy shows up and goes, this is my beloved son and who I'm well pleased. He knew the Father didn't speak loosely. And it wasn't because he had done anything, you know, hadn't healed nobody, had done nothing, and died on the cross for anybody to start. And just, I'm well pleased. Man, when he heard that, he loved himself, and he was able to go forth, do his job, and love people. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to move on, but awesome. Very, very awesome. All right. 240-482. Can I talk to you, please?
Valerie from North Carolina.
Say it again, please.
Valerie from North Carolina.
Hi, Valerie. All right, Valerie, good to have you. All right, did you mention somebody else's name or just you?
Just me.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought I heard something about something. Thank you. All right, Valerie, thank you for being there. And thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. God, we thank the Lord for the peace that love brings, God. Because when you people that don't have peace, it's because they really just don't know how to love themselves. And they need somebody, we're telling Kimberly, we need somebody to tell us that. That's the thing, that's the message. The message that the Father had for the Son was, you know, we heard it. This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. And so when, you know, Jesus heard that, you know, he was able to eventually give his life for us. And, you know, so thank you, Lord, for that peace. Jesus was a Prince of Peace. He could walk in peace. He knew he was taken care of because, you know, his daddy shows up. Like, he says, hey, this is my beloved Son, I'm well pleased. And therefore, you know, the peace of God, he was a peacemaker. People who are at peace with themselves and are peacemakers are people who know that they're loved. If they don't know they're loved, then they sometimes stir in trouble just as trying to get attention. They say, will somebody love me, please? So they stir up trouble, they stir up attention. Little kids do that. We do it as grown-ups in different ways. Because we want somebody to say, you know, yeah, you're a pain in the neck, but I sure do love you. I wish I could have heard more of that from my family. I think they thought they couldn't say that, because if they did, I might just get worse. Because if they love me in my worst condition, I might just get worse and see if they still love me then, you know. But so they would, you know, try to challenge me in different ways. But thank you, Lord, for Valerie, God, that you're igniting within her, Jesus, a passion to love others, to love herself. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for letting her prayers, when you pray, when you love yourself, because you know God loves you, you pray differently. You pray differently. You're not afraid to pray for yourself. You know, the big prayer thing that the Jabez prayer, I don't know if you remember that, if you were part of that back then, but the big Jabez prayer thing went around, big, huge, everybody's doing it. The big thing he said was, you pray for yourself. Well, how can you pray something really good for yourself when you're really not happy with yourself? You feel like, man, I'm so unworthy. I'm so messed up. I really could be so much better. And, you know, how can I pray? So, and that was his whole point, was he was saying, you know, pray the biggest, most big prayer you can pray for yourself. And so, you know, I remember doing that. And even though when I prayed, I said, oh, that ain't going to happen, but, you know, at least I can pray it. Because I was just trying to do what he said, right? So what I realized was that the reason I didn't believe it was because, you know, I just thought, hey, you know, you just, because I didn't love myself. You know, through years of things, you make mistakes, you disappoint yourself, you disappoint people, you do things, and you find yourself, you know, feeling like, you know, I really just like, I'm not really that much better, you know, than I was when I got saved and blah, blah, blah. I don't love enough. I don't just that. So you start condemning yourself. And when you condemn yourself, then you love yourself less, because when you're condemning yourself, if you really love yourself, you're not even going to allow yourself to condemn. You will not even try to condemn yourself. You wouldn't even go there, right? Condemning ourselves means that we, no matter what we do, it's never good enough. No matter what we do, it's never good enough. And so condemnation racks it up. So when we begin to realize, you know, that we do realize that God loves us, you know, it changes the way we deal with condemnation, you know. You forgive yourself faster. Why? Because you really like yourself. I really like me now. I love my new me. And when I'm doing that, I'm able to forgive myself for, you know, like today I did something. What was I doing? I was at the gym, and I said something, having fun with somebody. I said something that, man, they probably took that wrong. And I wish I wouldn't have said that. I started getting down on myself, right? And so, you know, even though I struggled with it a little bit, I found myself getting over it quicker because, you know, I'm loving the new me. And so it helps you get over things that you feel like you're failing in or not good enough at or not doing, you know, perfect at. You know, even though I still struggle with it a little bit, I got over it pretty quick. And I'm a little like, yeah, you know, and it's probably not that bad. You know, you said like, man, that was really messed up. You really messed that up. You're just a mess up. You mess up stuff. When you mess up something, you really mess it up, Chandler. You know, and I just realized, you know, that's just, I wouldn't even allow myself to talk to myself like that. That's why I didn't last very long. So thank you, Jesus, for Valerie, God, that you're showing her your love, God. You're revealing your love to her, Father, in different ways that she will see the ways that you are loving her, showing her love. The ways that she's not be able to see it, that she will see it. I never saw that as love. Me, showing me love. Because, you know, we all need to be known as being loved. That we're lovable. That's why the Father who created mankind and created Jesus knew that one thing he needed, the main thing he needed was that, I love you, son. You're lovable because I truly love you. And when he said, you are my beloved son and my well pleased, he knew, the Father knew that was the root of everything that would make Jesus successful. Make him successful. If he loved himself and loving people, forgiving those who were going to eventually betray him and deny him, forgiving those who crucified him, the Father knew that was the seed that in the next 3 years they'd grow a tree in Jesus of the fruit of forgiving others. So I said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Right? He did not love himself. He'd have been, yeah, man, you know, I might have deserved some of this, but not all this. Instead, he still loved himself. They knew that what they were doing, but they just didn't know what they were doing. They were crucified. They were killing him. They were conspiring against him. And yet he was able to say, you know, Father, forgive them. You can only do that. You can only forgive others when you walk in love for yourself, the love of God. And you know he loves you. Hallelujah, God. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of forgiveness, God, that you will enable Valerie to go to a whole other level when somebody does something or when she does something like I did today. It wasn't a big thing. I didn't say something ugly. I didn't cuss somebody out. Okay? But I just, you know, I said something, you know, it could have been taken either way. And I realized I got to start being careful how I say things because they're going to be taken either way. If they're having a bad day, they're going to take it the wrong way. If they're having a good day, they might take it the right way. So I just really was down myself that if they're having a bad day, they might take that the wrong way. Having a good day, no way. But I sort of, okay, I need to be more sensitive, and I need more of this, more of that. And I corrected it, you know, and kicked myself a couple of times, and then I realized, what am I doing? You know, and God's going to work this out for good because he's going to work this out for good. So what am I worried about it for? Even if I did mess it up, he's going to work it out for good. And that was the thing. Like, somehow, God, you give me a chance to work it out for good, or you work it out for good, and they'll just show up. And so, sure enough, it did. It did. And, you know, a couple hours later, it's like, wow. Yeah, so I don't know what's going on tonight, but thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. Thank you, Lord, for that being able to forgive herself, God, and walk in that forgiveness. In Jesus' name, to be able to understand that love of the Father. In Jesus' name for her. This is my beloved daughter, who I'm well pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 303-517, you want to talk to the front, please?
Mike and Veronica.
Hey, Ray. Hey, y'all. Hey,
hey,
Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, good to hear you guys. All right.
Oh, man, what a great show.
Hey, man, not much. I can't tell if you're talking to me or not. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm doing really good. Thank you for asking. Yeah. I tell you, man, the power of God, the love, you know, we're talking about the love fest. you know, I hadn't thought about that till right now, but the Love Fest thing, you know, I can see that happening, dude, because what's happening with me, and if what's happening with me, you know, which is God, and I'm loving my, you know, I'm loving my new self, then this has to be, the root of how you tap into, because like we're talking about the whole message tonight, you could probably take off preaching on that too, about how that, you know, we love because we're, he first loved us. I mean, that's the root of all of it. So what is the Love Fest? The Love Fest isn't just how much we love God. It's about how much he loves us, and knowing that he loves us, we know he loves us, then I must be worthy of being loved by another human being. You know, then we do things that our wives will go, man, you're like awesome, dude. And our wives are start doing things that we're going like, man, girl, you are like, woo, yeah. You know, because that's what happens, and it creates an atmosphere of working all things out together for good. Yeah. So thank you, Lord, for those Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for Mike and Veronica. Because they love you. You know why? Because they know that you love them, Jesus. And if I'm getting this, if this is happening to me, then what's happening to you guys? What's happening to all of us? This has to be the fruit that I'm getting and walking in is what's happening in PGN. And when you start walking in what I'm walking in, you know, as I'm starting to walk into it, it is like the most powerful thing of I'm finding favor with people that normally just, I don't know, they look at me and they look at me like, well, he must be one tough son of a gun. I don't think I want to hang around him because I'm pretty tough, you know. I'm pretty tough emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And it's like he's tough. So now they're looking at me differently for some reason. Like, you know, hey, yeah. Most people, you know, can be drawn to me, but not like now. It's just something's just changed. It's that Love Fest thing. It's that Love Fest thing. You talk, Mike, about the bride and all that a lot. Yeah, that's one of your things. And so, you know, the things you dreamed of and talked about and preached about and ministered about the bride and the love of the bride. Man, dude, I mean, like, this is what's happening. And no wonder, you know, Jesus said, lay your life down when a man lays his life down for his wife. I used to, honest to God, in all truth, I want to be really honest with this. I'm thinking I will probably never be able to do that. And just being honest with myself, I don't know if I could really do that. I don't know if I could do that. Now I'm kind of like going, that's possible. You know, it's just being raw, truthful. And you know, that's really possible at this point. Like, wow, instead of trying to prove my point and get my way and think that I'm going to convince you, it's like you're more willing to go like, does it make? I don't need to be right. I just need to be loved. I just need to love and be loved. And you can understand why love works all things out, you know? Love does that. The love of God does. So thank you, Jesus, for Mike and Veronica, God. We thank you, Lord, for that Love Fest. We thank you for the bride. Yeah, the bride. Mike's always talked about the bride for years. Thank you, Jesus, that that's going to be a reality for them, God, in their own personal life, their own ministries, their own, their dwelling in that place, the promised land, God, in Jesus' name, the promised land, the land of promise, and the Love Fest and all that. When they walked into the land of Canaan and took possession of what God given them? Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for what you've given them, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Love Fest. Owning our own, being owners, ownership, thing of ownership. The world is the Lord, the meek inherit the earth. Yeah, and I think it'll for that meekness, God. Meekness, love and meekness. When you love, you don't have to protect yourself. You know God's going to protect you. You don't have to fight for your rights. Necessarily, you know, God is, you know, God's fighting for you. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Yeah. And you know that. Thank you, Jesus. You know that. Praise God. Well, I thank you for every shackle being broken, God, and that the love fest, God, and that the bride and the bridegroom and all that, that you've been refreshing their love for one another, God, refreshing their love for you, but mainly refreshing your love for them. Well, you so loved them. Ooh, for God so loved you, and Veronica, that he gave his only begotten son. Wow. No, I just realized that, Mike and Veronica, that's amazing. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you. So it goes back to the root is that for God so loved the world. For God so loved. When I realized God loved me, when I got saved, I just realized he loved me. I knew he loved me. And now I'm understanding of what changed my life, you know, because he showed that he loved me. When that happened, I started loving everybody and wanting to help everybody, wanting to do everything for everybody, wanting to be a blessing for everybody. My God, that was a love fest big time. And it was not because I loved God, because I didn't really know if God was real or not. So how could I love somebody I didn't really know real, you know? I didn't want to be a fake. And so, man, when he showed me he loved me, when I got born again and I knew he loved me, my God. You know, it wasn't about me loving him. I loved him because he loved him. He said, trash like I was, like I felt of myself. And thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My God. Lord, I thank you for the love fest. That they're going to experience a new wine of that love fest, Jesus. You're going to bless them. They're going to drink it in deep. They're going to drink it. They're going to drink your blood, drink your wine. Drink, eat your body, Jesus. And we're not afraid or ashamed of your sufferings. Hallelujah. Drinking that blood. Drinking that blood. Hey, Veronica, drink the blood of Jesus. Wow. That was God's plan, not the devil's plan. The devil offering up babies and killing their own children. That wasn't the devil. The devil took something and made it evil. God chose giving his own son to the world because he so loved the world that he let his own son be brutally beaten to death because he knew that's the only way they could be healed and delivered, that Jesus was paying a price. God had his own son pay a price for something he never did. Love fest? Wow, yeah, that was, my God, in Jesus' name, you're washing us with your love tonight, God. You're washing us with your love. In the name of Jesus, thank you both for Mike and Veronica, God, for that love, the love of the Father, the love of the Father. And the Father shows up and says, Mike and Veronica, I'm well pleased with you, very pleased, well pleased. My beloved son and daughter. Woo! I don't know about you, Mike, or Veronica, either one, but, you know, I don't know. My daddy had probably showed me love more than I realized, but when I was younger, he did. When I got older, or a pain in the neck on a regular basis, it was hard for him to love me, and or at least show that love. And so then I started hungry for love, and that's when I found Jesus, you know. So, yeah, my daddy, I wish my daddy would have loved me more. You know, I'm sure my kids say the same thing about me. I bet, at least. My gosh. Man, we need that Father's love. The Father's love, bro. The Father's love. Jesus, pour it out. Jesus, move, minister to them. And Jesus, make them successful, God, in your light, in your word. Jesus' name, bless them above and beyond what they can even imagine. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 111, who want to talk to your company?
Jeff and you, Colorado.
Hey, y'all. Colorado, you're not from Colorado. Is this a different Jeff and Uke?
We're claiming both states now.
Okay, that's what I thought. I knew something was up. Yeah, it's because I'm so used to you guys saying that in Colorado. When you say Nevada, I'm like, That's when I should have said, you're from Atlanta. Yeah, it's like God is changing your identity, how you identify with yourself, Jeff and you, how you identify yourself to God and to the world and to your purpose. God changed your identity. Like your move to, when you guys went to Nevada and all that, it's like there was a transition of your, you know, of your character, of your nature, of, you know, it's like you're breaking into a whole new land. It's like a symbol when they broke free out of the wilderness. The children of Israel, and they broke free into the promised land. You know, they, number one, it was a whole different crew. The other crew, you know, the other old ones couldn't do it. So God chose the 20-year-old and on down. So he chose them, and the fact that they were the ones who entered to the promised land without, you know, doing anything really that good or that bad, they just were kind of, they hadn't grown up enough to complain and whine. They just questioned the mommy and daddy, right? What's wrong with them? So they were pure in that sense. So God, the purity in you guys, and the purity meaning that not that everything we do is so innocent and pure. It's not about that. It's about who we are and that we don't have that old religious thing, you know. It's like you guys have this whole different approach to things. And that's what the 20-year-olds did. I think they had a whole new approach to everything. They didn't really know what it was like in Egypt. You know, I mean, they were birthed in the wilderness. Right? They were there for their mom and daddy were there for 40 years. And then the 20-year-olds, so they had been 20 years. God, think about this. They'd been 20 years in the wilderness when they were born, even. Is that right? Am I saying that right? I'm just kind of getting things here. And so it's like they had a whole different look at God and a whole different look at where they were going. And they didn't have as many battles to fight in themselves of unbelief and doubt because of their religious past. They weren't in Egypt to know how good Egypt was, so to speak. To say, well, we want to go back to Egypt. They didn't have any identity with Egypt in that sense. They just had this thing. So you guys have this thing about you that's pure in that you don't go back and relate to a lot of religious stuff because you got birthed into the 20-year-old thing, so to speak. And now God is, you know, enabling you to go into the promised land and to walk into the promises and take the land because you're just like, God says something instead of whining and complaining like their mommy and daddy did, their mothers and fathers did. They said, okay, yeah, God, that'll work. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Instead of, oh, no, God, you know, I don't know. I want to go back to Egypt. It's like the 20-year-old's going like, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do that. Okay, we can do that. We can do that. We can move forward. They can move forward. So you guys can move forward in Jesus' name. That's what you're in. Yeah, that's what the whole thing of when God called you and drew you in. And it's just like the whole thing was like so that you would not have that. We're the only ones of that crew that could move forward. So it doesn't mean that everybody who's part of that didn't. But Joshua and Caleb, the few that were chosen, and they moved forward. So you're going to move things forward to the next level. There you go. There I'm getting it. You're going to move things forward to the next level, which the other people couldn't do. They couldn't. They couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't grasp it. But you guys can. You can grasp it. You're looking at it like, you know, I don't have anything to compare it to. It's just like the purity of that is like, you know, enables you to move forward. Right? You know, I hope I'm making sense of that. I see things and I try to explain what I see, but I don't know if I do it right. So that's what enables you to, you know, go on in and take the land and
Your whole perspective is you have all the other stuff missing from your life would draw you back or slow you down or stop you. You just go like, yeah, God, come on, let's go. Instead of, I don't know, you know, Egypt was pretty good. What are we going to get when we get over there? The Giants are big. You're going to get us. The Giants are going to take us down. That's what the old people thought. The Giants are going to take us down, but not y'all. Y'all, like, you know, the 20-year-olds, like, you know, like the new people, like the new group, the pure ones, they were like going, yeah, they believe that report. We can do this thing. Yeah, we can do this. Let's go do it. So I think you choose that for Jeff and you, God. Choose things they're gonna be able to press on through, cross over. They were crossed over, moving in, taking Jericho, in Jesus' name, and learning about the tithe. The whole thing about Jericho was that was a tithe. That the whole thing belonged, all those goods that they got, the gold, the silver, the brass, all that, the cloth, all was supposed to go to the priesthood. And the ones who didn't honor the tithe died. So they didn't make the rumbling. They died right inside when they crossed over the Jordan, right there. They killed them. You know, but all the rest of them moved on in. So it was a very rare, a very small percent. Before it was like everybody was messed up. Now we got one guy, one family who's messed up. The percent, like 99% are not messed up. 1% was compromised. He didn't give his tithe. He took the tithe that belonged to God. But in the old group, before they crossed over, none of them made it. Well, Joshua Caleb did. And that's like 98% didn't. And 2% did of the old. Making sense or not? I'm seeing this. So it was the opposite. Most of them didn't believe. A small percent did. They crossed over. Most of them did believe. And 1% did not. Just the opposite. Turned completely around. So I don't know. So I thank you, Jesus, for been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, so that a group of people could begin to move in and see the new land and go forward and go like, yeah, we can do this thing. We can do it. Lord, I thank you for the we can do it they have that they don't have to deal with and block them from moving forward. God is allowing them to move forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Come forth like Jesus told Lazarus. Come forth. I mean, he was dead. He was gone. He stinketh. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, yeah, but this one, now we're going to raise him up. But, oh, he's already dead. He stinks. You know, it's like gone beyond the ability to. It's like Jesus is now, not Lazarus, not Jeff and you. And Jesus saying, come forth. And when he came forth, it shifted everything. Most people realize that when Lazarus came forth, Lazarus was a well-known rich guy who got raised up from the dead that everybody loved because he was such a giver. He loved people. He loved God. Loved Jesus. Jesus and him were good friends. And so when he got raised up, then the Jews started coming to see. It turned the Jews on. They're going like, man, Lazarus got raised from the dead. He was dead. Yeah, and the Jews started coming to see not just Jesus, but Lazarus. It was amazing. Shifted everything over. And so, Lord, I thank you for that shift in Jesus' name. Amen. And that thing moving forward. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Did I get all that right? Let's see. Yeah, because when he called forth Lazarus, like I said, things shifted. And that's really when they went after Jesus, too, was when Lazarus got raised up. But then they were feared. They were already afraid of him. But then now they were afraid that all the Jews were going to follow after him. That's what the problem was. And right after that, they set up and crucified him. Yeah, because of Lazarus. Because there was such a shift in, like across the Jordan. It was a shift. Was something happened. They moved forward. And then the promised land now became Jesus is gone, resurrected, gone, and now a whole group of people being birthed in the promises of God. Amen. All right. So something like that. Amen. All right. So somebody raise your hand. I got 4 or 5 people that don't have their hand up. If you want to get ministered to, you better get it up. It's 12:30. I took a little bit longer tonight or something. I don't know what happened tonight. Really had a different feel for tonight. Something's going on. Something's going on. For me to say it publicly, say it to God out loud, I'm loving my new self. You have to understand that's a shift for me big time. Yeah. So that tells me that PGN, you know, all of our friends, all of us who listen, pay attention at all, what God's doing, that we're all part of this together. It's a shift for all of us. Because all you need is love. My, 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 my. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Beatles had it, man. Wow. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Man, and when you think about that, that is so right. When God said, this is my beloved son, I'm well pleased. He was saying, I love him, and I'm proud of him, and I'm making it public. It's like God's going to start making his love for his people public. Woo! I love that. Yeah, it's going to show that he loves you publicly. Going to tell the world, now this is my girl. This is mine. I'm well pleased with her. Yeah, watch me use her. Watch me use him. Now this is my beloved. Wow, I get a prophetic order. And so we're entering to this realm of this is my beloved. My beloved. Wow, that's my beloved. And I'm interested because I'm seeing all this stuff tonight where Paul the Apostle say, my beloved brethren. My beloved brethren. All right, I'm looking at this thing, so give me a second here. Get the hand up there if you want ministry or not. I'm getting blessed by that tonight. I'm like, wow. I started to see what's going on. And it's a dream. A dream coming true. Very cool. Y'all, I think I'm going to call it a night tonight. Either people are sleeping or something. I'm not sure. Went a little slower tonight, I think, or something. I'm not sure what we did, but there we go. Got two, four or so people that don't have their hand up. I'm going to be back.
All right, we're going to call it a night. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. Almost 1 o'clock. Getting close. All right. Bye-bye.